This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sand hills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Well, the Woodpeckers have returned home to Segres Stadium in downtown Fayetteville for the first time in over 2 weeks, and they were greeted by a little bit of a thunderstorm. A delayed start tonight, 7:50, scheduled first pitch in downtown Fayetteville. But we're ready to roll. Game one, the opener of this six-game series between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Carolina Mudcats is around the corner. Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the broadcast booth. I'm Andrew Chapman, back with my main man, Colin Casey, on the broadcast, and we are thrilled to be with you back in Segres Stadium for the first time in a couple of weeks. Colin, good to see you again. And the Woodpeckers had some positive things to take from their recent road trips and maybe some negatives as well. They started out the series in Myrtle Beach with a couple of wins against one of minor league baseball's toughest teams, and then they lost the final four, and they were no hit on the Sunday going into the All-Star break. 4 days of rest, Woodpeckers go to Kannapolis, and they start strong. A 10-5 win over the 10-5 win over the Kannapolis Cannonballers, and then the series at that point turned in the favor of Kannapolis. But Logan Cerny, Lo Perfido had some big games. Miguel Oyola, Edinson Bautista continue to pitch well, and you have to try and take the positives at this stage of the year and bring them into this homestand now with Carolina missing some of their key pieces.
Yeah, that's all you really can do at this point. Again, great start to both those series against Kannapolis this past week, and of course before the All-Star break, a couple of strong games to open the series in Myrtle Beach. But just things didn't really go their way on the road, all things considered. Great thing, though, is you're back at home for the first time in 16 days. Good to get a nice home crowd back behind you, and look for some revenge against a Mudcats team that's been very good against Fayetteville this year. They have an 8-4 record against the Woodpeckers, but as you mentioned, they have lost some of that talent. Big one name, of course, being Jackson Chorio, who got called up less than 36 hours ago to High A. Anytime you lose a player of that caliber leading the league prior to his promotion in batting average, yeah, that's a tough loss for the Mudcats, but same time, you know, the show must go on. They've got a lot of talent also in that order, and they're right in the thick of things as well in the North Division battle, despite being seven games back of Fredericksburg, who's been really strong to start this second half of the year. They're kind of playing for their season at this point, like the Woodpeckers are right now, trying to keep pace and not lose any more ground going into next week.
Yeah, this is a big series, Colin. The Woodpeckers have 43 games left on the regular season schedule, and in the second half, they find themselves at the bottom of the division right now in the South Division, 7-16 in the second half of play, but that's only 7.5 games out. It could be worse. You have Delmarva in the North, who already find themselves 10 games out. In the South Division, the Cannonballers carry a half-game lead over the Columbia Fireflies. Myrtle Beach is sitting in third. They've already punched their ticket to the postseason with a first-half championship. The Charleston Riverdogs are in fourth at 12-11. Augusta just a game and a half in front of Fayetteville at 9-14. And again, the Woodpeckers at the bottom at 7-16. Tonight, they'll hope that a debut can help carry them to a series-opening win. It is left-hander Colton Gordon on the mound for the Woodpeckers, the eighth-round draft selection last season by the Astros, recovered from Tommy John surgery around the draft, pitched to the Florida Complex this year, and has recently been called up. It'll be the first left-handed pitcher, southpaw, on the mound for the Woodpeckers this year. No numbers on Gordon yet in the Carolina League. Corniel, 5-7. Alexander Corniel, that is, the right-hander on the mound for the Mudcats, 5-7. with a 3.74 ERA. We have more on those guys following our pregame conversation with the skipper, Joe Thon, who joined us a couple hours before first pitch to talk everything about the last couple of weeks. We have the starting lineups that we'll bring you as well after our conversation with the manager. We touched on a lot. His draft day, we talked about where he was drafted, the phone call he got back in 2010, along with what goes on in the mind of a professional baseball player around the time of the draft, with the roster expected to change in the near future for the Woodpeckers with all of the Astros' recent draft selections from around the All-Star break. So hope you enjoy that conversation with Joe. We return with that on the other side of the break, and then we get ready for a 7:50 first pitch tonight in downtown Fayetteville. Stay tuned. Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport, and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867. Welcome down to the lower level of Segra Stadium. We are in the skipper's office and joined on the Woodpeckers pregame show by the skipper himself. It is Joe Thon. Joe, welcome on in. Hope your All-Star break was good. Everybody coming back into town, getting ready to have the first homestand out of the All-Star break. And did you get to relax a little bit? I know we're almost at the 100-game mark in the season. Everybody's getting a little tired, but how was your break, Joe?
Chappie, I'm good, man. The guys have been working good. They're healthy. They've been working hard. You know, I'm mostly worried about them, their mind, their bodies, mm-hmm. See how they're doing. You know, these games take a toll on you, and they accumulate. So I'm good. These Mondays off are very, very nice too. So I'm getting accustomed to those too.
Yeah, the Monday off days are nice. As a player from your days, do you remember, you know, going to the All-Star break and how you felt physically before that break? And just how much good do you think that 4 days does for guys? Some of them stay in the area, get some treatment. Some of them go and just relax and see family. But how beneficial were those 3-4 days off for you in your playing days when you were in the lineup every day?
Oh, it's just one of those mental resets, even physical, you know, because you play so much. And when I played, our schedules kind of it varied. We had one season that we had no days off in a full month. Mm-hmm. You just kind of rolled through three or four game series, and you kind of just went through it. So those all-star games were all-star breaks, so to speak. They were great, you know, a good mental reset, and, you know, keep going through the second half and finish strong.
Yeah. Coming right out of the All-Star break, we were kind of just talking on the broadcast. It was probably the perfect time for the Woodpeckers just to reset and then go on the road for a quick little 3-game series against Kannapolis. And it was a good Friday night, a 10-5 win for the Woodpeckers. Logan Cerny, who's, you know, continuously been one of the top players in this league for the last couple of months, he went 4-for-4. Joey Loperfido had a couple of doubles. When you consider those guys, Cerny, Loperfido, what they've meant to this team on the offensive side, how much easier has it been for you as a manager, too, to just have those guys to slot into the middle of your lineup every day and know that they're going to put together the at-bats they have over the last couple of months?
It's like you said, when they accumulate so much professional at-bats often, it's very easy to put them in the middle and top of the order. Mm-hmm. You know, they go about their work correctly. Cerny has grown up a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been very professional since of late. Loperfido is a great professional as well. So, mm-hmm. You know, those guys, you know, you don't really have to worry about taking care of business, doing their things. And those 0-for-4, 0-for-5s seem to be taken very, very well. And they bounce back very quickly to the next game. You know, that's all you really want, because it's inevitable. They, mm-hmm. You know, the game is tough. And they just they get good at-bats consistently. That really is helpful.
One of the guys that's been getting good at bats too as of recent has been Jackson Hallmark. It's been great to see him put together a good series in Myrtle Beach. Finally, a couple of those balls he barreled up left the yard. It seemed like he had a bunch of them earlier in the year that died on the warning track, but he finally gets a couple balls out and has found ways to walk. He's had some productive outs as well. Hallmark's season was kind of a struggle the first couple of months, but he seems like a guy who's very persistent. I've heard him being talked about as a great clubhouse guy that everybody loves talking to. What have you liked about his turnaround he's had at the plate the last couple of weeks? Because right now you got him at the top of the lineup card most nights.
Yeah, he's been adjusting very, very well. You know, it's his first time playing professional baseball. It's a full season. So the sample size is very small, luckily. So he is a very, very twitchy player. Mm-hmm. When you get on, if he gets on base, he's a very, very dangerous threat. Mm-hmm. He's been accumulating a lot of good at-bats lately. That's why I put him up top. When he gets on first, he can get things going very quickly. Mm-hmm. We're very, very happy with the work he's been doing. He started a little slow at first, but like he's getting his at-bats in, growing up, and getting professional at-bats. And that's all you really want. It's a long season, right? We got, what, 6-7 weeks left, and you can finish strong as well.
This is the time of year, too, Joe, where we just had the MLB draft. So, like last season, you have this whole flock of new players that comes in around August last year. We had Lo Profito, Quincy Hamilton, Will Wagner, Chad Stevens. The list goes on of all of these new guys coming into town. Do you have a sense at this point of, you know, how different the roster may look within the next week or two? And do you think that's something that, you know, players think about at all, saying, okay, this is the time where guys go up, some guys go down? You know, where does they kind of take stock of, I guess, where they're at the moment in the system? Where do you get the sense guys' heads at are around this time of year?
Well, it's inevitable. You know, the guys know what's going on. They know the draft coming. It's part of the industry. Mm-hmm. It's something they have to deal with, the stress and deal with the pressures. But it's just take care of their thing. We seem to get a big wave of those guys as of late. It's kind of hard to predict who and how many people will come our way, if any.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, our guys, they've just been putting heads down at work. It's all you can really do. The same pressures in guys in AAA and AA and big leagues. You know, there's people all over the place playing well, good baseball, playing your position. So it's something that these guys understand, and the more they can just take care of their thing, play professionally, do the work, it's something that it's part of the industry.
You have any good memories left from the days you were drafted, 2010, fifth rounder? I believe it was Toronto Blue Jays came calling. What do you remember from your draft day back in 2010?
What I remember is that I was in the beach. I was in the beach. I got the call, and then I completely lied to Alex Anthopoulos. So he said, like, what were you doing? I was like, I kind of panicked. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm lifting, whatever. I was like, no, I'm in the beach, like, with friends, chilling. Got a little of a panic because you're like, you didn't expect anything like that to happen. And you could just hear, like, the waves and stuff.
You sure you're grinding in the gym? A little beach workout?
No, but it was, you know, you work so hard and kind of, I wasn't really thinking of the draft much, but then all of a sudden it gets real, real quick. And you're kind of going out, like, you're going to be a professional very quickly. And your life definitely changes. You know, normal is not anybody else is normal. And that's what's fun about this industry, that, you know, you get to do things and go to places that people don't go and don't do. So it's very, very nice to see the fruition of their career starting now. And they, you know, you see them grow up from day one and kind of see how the career goes.
Yeah. Alex Anthopoulos, too, and now a World Series winning general manager with the Atlanta Braves. So that's a cool guy to be calling you on draft day. Did you get the sense that you were maybe a fifth-round guy or a top-five-round guy around that draft day time, or did somebody – it was kind of random, or did they give you an idea of where you might go, or how did that whole process work?
You know how those things are. Some people tell you you're going the first round, second round, you're not getting drafted at all. You know, you never know those things. Every organization has their own draft philosophy and their own orders. So it's like, it's kind of hard to predict. Even this year, you see the mock drafts and they kind of don't really pan out because every team has their own priorities. But you know, like the best I can tell younger players that when they're getting of that age is just take care of your stuff. You can be seen anywhere. And luckily in this day and age, like social media, players are being seen everywhere. So it's a good time to be a ball player.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts on Drew Gilbert? I don't know how much you've gotten to see him, first overall pick this year for the Astros. I know some of his social media highlights were going all over at the University of Tennessee this year, hitting some walk-off grand slams, some big-time bat flips. Have you gotten to see much of his tape, Drew Gilbert?
I've seen a couple highlights. Yeah, he looks like a very exciting player, kind of a stocky, strong guy. So it'll be fun to see him play, see what brings to the club. I'll have to reach out to Ross from UH. I played with him and had him as a coach, so I'll have to reach out to him and see what he got on him.
All right. Well, no doubt the Woodpeckers might look different in a couple of weeks, but as of right now, roster has many of the same names that have been in Fayetteville for a chunk of the year. The Lo Profitos, the Cerny's, come on out. Watch them the rest of this week as the Woodpeckers get ready to take on the Carolina Mudcats for a 6-game series at Segres Stadium. Joined with the skipper, Joe Thon, here on the pregame show. Joe, thanks so much for taking the time, and good luck this week at home.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, man.
Oh.
Segra Stadium is the place to be on Wednesday night all summer long. Every Wednesday home game is Dollar Dog Night at the ballpark. Enjoy $1 Smithfield Foods hot dogs throughout the game and bring your pup to the park for only a dollar as well. The great deals don't stop there. If the Woodpeckers win on Wednesday, so do you. Every fan in attendance will receive a free ticket to a future Wednesday home game. So bring the whole family, including your furry friends, down to Segra Stadium Wednesday night for Dollar Dog Night. Learn more at MILB.com/Fayetteville.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers. With over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s, discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
Fans, for those that are able, please rise and remove your caps for the singing of the national anthem. Performing the anthem this evening, please welcome Julianne Antanasio.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Let's hear it for Julianne Antanasio. And tonight's Field of Dreams team, the E.E. Miller Black Knights.
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Packers baseball is back home in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. The opener of this six-game series between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Carolina Mudcats. Hello, everybody. Welcome back inside the broadcast booth once again. Andrew Chapman along with Colin Casey. And we are glad to be back home after a couple weeks on the road. Six in Myrtle Beach, the four-day All-Star break, and then three on the road in Kannapolis. Fayetteville hoping that a return back to Segra Stadium can help turn around their contention chances in the South Division of the second half race. On the mound is left-hander Colton Gordon. He's making his Woodpecker debut tonight in Fayetteville. The former eighth rounder by the Houston Astros in 2021 comes up from the Florida Complex League Astros, where he was 0-1 with a 2.08 ERA, 13 innings. He gave up three earned runs over the stretch across six games, five starts, only one home run allowed, He walked 2 and struck out 22. How about that K-to-walk ratio over 13 innings? 6'4" lefty, hoping to carry some of those numbers into his Carolina League season. First time pitching full-season pro ball in his career. Let's go ahead and meet the Mudcats that Colton Gordon will face tonight. The lineup card announced by the first-year manager, Victor Estevez. And it leads with Henry Mendez, the right fielder. Oswald Leones, the left fielder, hits second. And Jefferson Quiro is the DH, hitting third. Hedbert Perez, the center fielder, will be the cleanup hitter. Eduardo Garcia plays it short and hits fifth. Jesus Chirinos is sixth, and he's over at first base. Zach Robbie, the second baseman, he is the seven hitter. Jose Cibrian catching, he is eighth. And Luis Silva, the third baseman, rounds out the nine for the Carolina Mudcats. The Mudcats at 45-45 in the regular season, and they currently sit in fourth place in the Carolina League North Division race at 11-13 in the second half. A notable name missing, Colin, Jackson Chorio, who we mentioned at the top of the pregame show, called up recently to high A.
Yeah, it's a big loss, no question about it. Leads the league in batting average prior to his promotion to Wisconsin, but Mudcats will just have to make do without him with the other outfielders they have on this roster.
So Colton Gordon covers his face with that black mitt. He winds and throws home the very first pitch. It's a number past the mound, shallow towards second. Hallmark charges, tries to backhand flip with his glove. He flips it over Mesky towards the railing of the Woodpeckers dugout, but fortunately that does not go down the stairwell. It stays in the field of play. Henry Mendez will come up with a little infield dribbler single. Jackson Hallmark doing everything he could on that play, charging forward, backhanding it on the infield grass and just trying to flip it over to Mesky. But Mendez with some good amount of speed, and he'll lead off this game with a hit. And Oswald Leones, the lefty, steps in. Colton Gordon pitches, and Leones fouls the pitch back. The Woodpeckers, for our radio audience, are in the retro threads today, that 1970s look with the three-tone ball cap, the black backing, white front, red bill, and that digital Fayetteville F on the front of the cap. The retro uniform with the white shoulders and the stripe pattern down the middle and bottom of the jersey. Here's the pitch from Gordon, and it's a slider that clips the outside corner. Called a strike on Leones. 0-2. The black belts with the white pants, a black pinstripe going down that pant leg, and for the Woodpeckers to wear the high socks, it's the red socks with the ring pattern, the black-white rings around the calf. It's a sharp look. A fastball misses just a bit outside. 92 registering on the stadium radar gun there from Colton Gordon, and it's a ball and two strikes. Meanwhile, the Mudcats, they are in the road reds. Black batting helmets, red uniforms, Mudcats in white across the chest. Slider down to the dirt. Leones chases, and that's strike three. First Carolina League strikeout for Colton Gordon. Comes on a pitch well below the zone. There's one away. And Jefferson Quiro coming up. The Mudcats, they have black belts on as well. Gray pants, a red and black pinstripe down the side of the leg. And Hedbert to make it Jefferson Quiro. He wears the white numbers on the back of that uniform, the high black socks and red cleats. The pitch is up and outside. One ball and no strikes on Jefferson Quiro, who's reserved to the DH duties today for the Mudcats. Big hole on the right side of the diamond. Jackson Hallmark shifted over towards the middle from second. And the 1-0 pitch misses off the inside. It was a getaway slider from Gordon. Two balls and no strikes.
Carroll's been among the team best against Fayetteville this season, hitting .333 over 10 games. He is 12-for-36 with a home run and two RBIs.
A little bit of a leg kick for the righty. He stays off a fastball up and outside. And he's quickly in front. Three balls, no strikes. Can take his pick of pitch right now and wait for the perfect one. A short lead off of first for Henry Mendez. Here's the pitch. And he swings and misses. Well, he got the pitch he apparently wanted. Fastball right down the middle. And that was a huge swing. Helmet almost popped off of his head. And 93 miles an hour from Gordon. Count is 3-1 on Quiro on the season, batting .269, playing in his 72nd game. Another swing at a fastball, and he loops this one foul over the net. Colton Gordon able to come back and fill this count 3-2. Colton Gordon standing 6'4", 225 out there on the mound. He's a big guy, 23 years old. Won't turn 24 until mid-December. And now a fly ball hit deep down the right field line. This is slicing foul right into the Dippin' Dots stand. Rained a little bit before the game, helped cool things off a bit. Still a little bit of humidity in the air. Originally scheduled for a 7:05 start, and we ended up getting started closer to 7:55. Still partly cloudy, 82 degrees in downtown Fayetteville. 3-2 payoff pitch, runner is on the move, and another foul off by Kiro. He will keep this battle going. Nice job by Gordon to get back in the count. We gave you his Florida Complex League numbers with 22 strikeouts, just 2 walks, so he is defined as a strike thrower. And you're not going to see him all that often fall behind big like that. 3-1, 3-0, 4-pitch walks. That's just not a part of his game. And now he's battling 3-2, another payoff to Kiro, and he strikes him out swinging. Got him with a slider. And Colton Gordon had to throw 5 straight pitches in the zone to finally take care of Kiro after falling behind 3-0. Great bounce back. Round number 2.
It was a nasty strikeout pitch. Let's take a quick look at the Fayetteville defense behind Gordon. Making his home debut with the Woodpeckers behind the plate, Jose Alvarez, just his 3rd start with the team. Victor Mascai holding the runner at first as the first pitch to Edbert Perez is fouled off to the right. Jackson Hallmark at second, Leo's Danny Molina the shortstop, Justin Williams over at third. Left to right in the outfield, it's Joey Loperfido, Logan Cerny, and Tyler Whitaker.
So Edbert Perez broke the bat on that swing, and he has to walk back towards his third base dugout, get a new piece of lumber, and he'll be in a no-ball, 1-strike count. Edbert Perez was one of those top 3 prospects last year for the Milwaukee Brewers, and has since been topped by the younger Jackson Chorio, who we mentioned, called up to the high-A Wisconsin Timber Rattlers yesterday during the off day. Here's the 0-1 pitch, and a check swing on a breaking ball a little outside. That was well located by Gordon. And a good job just barely holding up for Perez. Edbert Perez this year, 220 batter, playing in his 75th game for the Mudcats. Lefty on lefty, slider bites to the outside corner. That is called strike 2.
Love the movement on that slider. It looks like it's breaking close to a foot, starting right at the hip of Perez and ends up on the outside corner.
See if Mendez wants to go. He's stutter stepping off of first, and he's on the move. Pitch is high. Alvarez throws down. 1 hopper grabbed by Molina, and he drops the tag to get Mendez sliding in. Looked like Mendez had a late break. Alvarez's throw was short, but Molina was there to grab it on the short hop and place the tag, taking the bat out of Perez's hands. And Colton Gordon, despite the leadoff single, faces the minimum in his first Carolina League inning of his career. Woodpeckers grab the bats when we return. Hallmark, Cerny, and Loperfido to lead it off. We have the rest of the starting 9 as well next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
By Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop here in Fayetteville for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Fans, let's make some noise for Bunker! Fans, do you want free tacos? Well, here's your chance. It's Taco Tuesday. If the Woodpeckers score 3 runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable at any location here in Fayetteville. Fans, say we want tacos with me on 3. 1, 2, 3. On the mound for the Mudcats, number 22, Alexander Corneal. Tonight's Woodpeckers walk-up music is presented by the Big 95.7 WKML. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the second baseman, number two, Jackson Hallmark.
Just underway from Segra on this Tuesday night, the opener between the Woodpeckers and the Mudcats. Leadoff man Jackson Hallmark takes a high fastball from Carolina starter Alexander Corniel. His wind in 1-0 offering, another elevated fastball, a check swing, and on the appeal down to first, they say he went. And with that, I'm going to introduce the two-man umpiring crew tonight. It is Shea Graham working the plate, calling balls and strikes, and Michael Corbett is down on the bases. Two-man crew in the black hats, the black tops, and the gray pants. Fastball strike at 94 from Corniel, his 1-2 offering. Strikes out Hallmark swinging. He got all heat. Five straight fastballs to Jackson Hallmark, striking him out to begin the first inning. And bringing up Logan Cerny. Colin has the Carolina defense behind Alexander Corniel tonight.
Jose Cibrian doing the catching for Corniel. Jesus Chirino over at first. Zach Robbie, the second baseman. Eduardo Garcia is at short. And Luis Silva is at third. First pitch just misses to Cerny. Oswald Leones, the left fielder. Hedbert Perez in center. And Hendry Mendez out in right.
Here's the pitch. And Cerny chases the off-speed from Corniel. That was below the zone. A good slider. And it's a one ball, one strike count. Alexander Corniel coming into today, 5-7 record, 3.74 ERA. Slider got away, runs all the way to the backstop, and it's 2-1. This will be the 18th game and 15th start for Corniel. 75 innings of work this year. He's struck out 88 batters now with the K of Hallmark. He's issued 43 walks, given up 8 home runs, and 31 total earned runs. For that sub-4 ERA, and he's been pitching well in the month of July, coming off a pair of six-inning outings. In each of his last two starts, here's the 2-2 pitch. Cerny takes a very high, that was shoulder level, at 94 miles an hour.
Both of those the longest starts he's had all season long. First two times he's gone six innings, pair of quality starts.
Infield playing Cerny just about straight up, and right as Corniel began to kick, Cerny calls for time. Corniel wears a light green colored glove. It's the best way I can describe that. And Cerny gets underneath this one. A soaring fly ball into medium center field. Perez stationed underneath it, and he makes a one-handed grab to retire Logan Cerny. Colin, I suddenly have the craving for mint chip ice cream looking at that Alexander Corniel glove. That's the best way I can describe the color there. It's the color of mint chip ice cream.
That's a popular flavor up in New England. Anytime one of my friends is going down to the Cape, that's one of the top picks for sure. So I don't blame you in that regard.
There's a time and a place, but mint chip gets a bad rap, in my opinion.
It does.
Joey Loperfido is the lefty in for the Woodpeckers, and a fastball knee level taken for strike one. Next pitch is just off of the inside, and one of those features in Alexander Corniel is just how fast he works. He really doesn't leave that rubber and doesn't use really any of the pitch clock either. Loperfido hits a soft liner out to left, and that'll sink down for a base hit. Cerny turns first, and he'll hold with a single, two-out knock. And there's a good swing for Joey. Had a couple of doubles on Friday night in Kannapolis, but finished off that series a little bit cold. He struck out four times on Saturday, went without a base hit on Sunday, and is on in his opening at bat here at home to bring up Justin Williams. Williams hacks at the first pitch and fouls it back into the screen. No balls and one strike. Justin Williams, the Penn State ball player, drafted last year. He comes in batting 258 with a couple of home runs, 15 driven in. And that fastball up and a little inside. And even one ball and one strike count.
It's been a little bit of a power outage, though, for Williams as of late. He doesn't have a home run in the month of July, and he's only driven in a couple of runs. Granted, he hasn't had nearly as many opportunities as he had at the plate in the month of June.
A check swing, and he went too far. I don't know if that pitch was in the zone. Looked like it was 50-50. That might have been a called strike by Shea Graham on a low slider.
And it's a 1-2 on Williams. Lo Perfido off of first. He has over 20 stolen bases this year. And the pitch, very far outside. Slider gets away. That ball ricochets off the backstop, comes back to the home plate area, but no chance for Cibrian to make a throwdown. And Lo Perfido will get into scoring position, not on the stolen base, but on the wild pitch. That's a couple of sliders now in this inning that have gotten erratic on Corniel, going all the way to the backstop past his catcher. So two balls, two strikes on Williams.
Just yanked that one a little bit too hard.
Release point wasn't quite there, and now he gets Williams to chase on that down and away slider. Strike three for Corniel. He strands Joey Lo Perfido down on second following the two-out single. Strikes out a pair in the inning. And through one tonight in Fayetteville, we're scoreless. Woodpeckers and Mudcats, the opener of this six-game series, continues in a moment from Segra Stadium.
House. You've won a tumbler and drink tickets courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Show us those tumblers. So cool. Like a vandal, light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. Crush a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit bulls out of kid. Don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Segra provides Segra Stadium with free public Wi-Fi. Log on now by selecting hashtag GoSegra. Hit my 5.0, put my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl is on standby, waiting just to say hi. Did you stop? No, I just drove by, kept on, pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A. Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men love us, driving Lamborghinis. Jealous, cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the nine. Ready for the chumps on the wall. The chumps acting ill because they're full of eight ball. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my nine, all I heard was shells falling on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Colton Gordon. Trying to get away before the jack is jacked. Police on the scene, you know what I mean? Leading off the top of the second inning for the Mudcats, the center fielder, number two, Hedbert Perez.
It is the top of the second inning at Segra Stadium. Woodpeckers and Mudcats scoreless in this series opener. Colton Gordon faces left-hander Hedbert Perez, and the first pitch is nubbed off the end of the bat. A sidewinding grounder played off to the third base side of the mound by Gordon. He spins and throws to first and gets the out. We even had to see that left-handed pitcher go off to the right side of the mound. And all this year, Colin, it's been all right-handers, but for Gordon, a lefty, he fielded that off to his glove hand side, his right hand side, and he had to completely contort his body around, do a 180 to get that throw off, and makes a nice play. First time fielding his position tonight. One quick out on one pitch, and now Eduardo Garcia into the right side, and the Carolina shortstop takes a fastball up and away for ball one. Gordon, with a target set up high, throws, and a foul ball is dumped into the netting. So one ball and one strike count. 20 pitches now for Colton Gordon, who might be on a little bit of a limit today. Tommy John surgery a couple weeks before he was drafted in 2021. Didn't pitch all of last year following a college career at a UCF, one that at least ended at UCF, University of Central Florida. 1-1 pitch is just off the outside. So don't think he'll be going too long today, maybe around a 50-pitch cap or so, but good to see him out there on the mound pitching in his full season professional debut today. Fastball down and inside, and the count is 3-1 on Garcia.
And this is such an important outing for Gordon because you know the reinforcements are coming soon from the draft next week, so he's got to make a strong impression here in Fayetteville. And so far he's looked really confident on the mound.
And here's the delivery, a pop fly. This is hit shallow right. Mascai and Hallmark converging on it. Hallmark makes a striding over-the-shoulder grab. Second baseman able to take command, running out on that ball. Whitaker, the right field, came in on it. He was there for security purposes.
Threw 17 pitches in that first inning. He's already gotten the first two outs and just six. So good to see Gordon recognizing the ability to, you know, pitch to contact at times. You don't want your pitch count to run too high trying to get a punch out every single time.
And now it's Jesus Chirinos with two away, and he takes the first pitch slider that floats its way into the zone for strike one. Colton Gordon shakes no, now has the one he wants. He delivers. And it's a fastball placed just off of the outside. That baseball journey for Colton Gordon was one that mostly took place inside of his home state of Florida. Here's his 1-1 pitch. And a breaking ball that gets Chirinos to whip through it. Went to Lakewood Ranch High School in Bradenton, Florida. Was a top 10 left-handed pitching prospect coming out of high school. Started his career at the University of Florida as a redshirt as he swings and misses and blows away Chirinos with a fastball. It was a career that went all through the state. We'll touch on it a little bit more, but the UCF product, as it eventually went, is looking good tonight in downtown Fayetteville. Two scoreless innings for him and three strikeouts as we go to the bottom of the inning. No score on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Shirt toss. Make some noise.
Let's go. In the club with my homies, trying to get a little deeper down on the low key. She know how it feels. I saw the shorty, she was checking up for me. From the game, she was singing in my ear. You would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to
walk out.
Back on the mound for the Mudcats, Alexander Corneal. Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the first baseman, number 17, Victor Miskai.
Bottom two and no score after 1.5 tonight in Fayetteville. Victor Miskai, Tyler Whitaker, and Jose Alvarez, the trio to face Alexander Corneal the first time. Corneal giving up a two-out single to Joey Loperfido, but leaving him stranded in scoring position. His wind and 1-0 pitch to Miskai is a changeup off the outside, and it's a one-ball, one-strike count. Colton Gordon, good start to his Carolina League season. 1-2-3 second, and he struck out three Mudcats over two scoreless. Miskai takes a swing at a elevated fastball and pops it high out of play for ball one. Strike one on Miskai. Two ball, one strike count on Victor. Miskai is hitting 217 and playing in his 55th game of the year. Reaches out in front, swings over a changeup, and it's two balls and two strikes. He has eight home runs this year and go along with 29 driven in, 30 walks to 66 strikeouts. The break even strikes him out. A foul tip, and Cibrian was able to hold on to it behind the plate. Five batters faced for Alexander Corneal, and he's already tallied up three strikeouts, and here comes Tyler Whitaker.
I feel that at-bat and strikeout. It's got to feel good for Victor to be back home. Prior to that at-bat, he's only had one since June 23rd. Remember, he was banged up on a play over at first, so after the long road trip, finally get some at-bats here back at Segra Stadium.
And now here is Tyler Whitaker, the 19-year-old sporting a fresh haircut as a fastball misses up and outside to Whitaker. And it's one ball and no strikes. and a pop fly and out of play. I think that's something that Whitaker did yesterday because I'm pretty sure he had long hair in Kannapolis. I don't think that's something he did during the All-Star break. I noticed it in right field. Looked out there, and I could see the back of Whitaker's neck, and I said, that's not something we've been able to see all year long. He's been rocking the flow. That's the hairdo he has on his mugshot out there on the left center field video board. One ball and two strikes the count on Whitaker. And here comes the 1-2 pitch. And he fouls it back in out of play. Now he's got to be 4 or 5 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
And more aerodynamic. I mean, he was really growing out the hairdo this year.
He's got the speed even without the haircut.
That's right.
So.
One ball and two strike pitch. And a swing and something went flying there. Whitaker foul tipped and he is struck out. Sebrion held on to that. I don't know if that was a piece of the bat or it was a mouthpiece or something that went flying, but something came on. Maybe you know what it was. I think they have those sensors on the knob of the bat. I think that's what came flying off. One of those don't know the official term of it, but it tracks some of the hitting analytical data. I think that's what came off of the bat there. Jose Alvarez, new catcher on this roster, swings and misses for strike one. There's two outs on two strikeouts for Cornell. Bases empty, no score. Here's the wind and pitch. And Alvarez taps one foul to the backstop quickly, 0-2. And Cornell trying to make very quick work of this Woodpeckers lineup card. Infield straight up, outfield as well. Cornell kicks and pitches and misses very high. It is 1-2. Alvarez with the Woodpeckers again in 2022, is with the team last year in the months of May and June. Has started out strong this season. Came down from Asheville before the Kannapolis series during the All-Star break and had multi-hit games on Saturday and Sunday. Pair of hits on Saturday, two more on Sunday, and he drove in the only run for the Woodpeckers Sunday afternoon in that unfortunate 11-1 loss. He's in a two-ball, two-strike count. Cornell delivers. And he strikes out Alvarez. Alexander Cornell, three up, three down, three strikeouts, and he's already struck out five Woodpeckers over two scoreless innings tonight. Nothing in the run column for either team through two. We play the third next on the Woodpeckers. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Colton Gordon. Leading off the top of the third inning for the Mudcats, the second baseman, number four.
Zach Robbie leads off the top of the third inning. Colton Gordon, like Alexander Cornell, both through two scoreless innings. A good start to his Carolina League debut. Colin Casey, glad to have him back on the broadcast, and he's with you on the play-by-play for the next couple.
Great to be back, Chappie. First pitch on the outside corner to Zach Robbie is in for a strike. Fastball from the left-hander Gordon, catching that outside corner, working quickly, and Robbie lines this one right to his counterpart at second base. Jackson Hallmark takes a couple of steps to his right to make the catch, and just two pitches needed to record the first out of the third for Gordon, as Chappie was alluding to prior to the end of the top of the second inning. Colton Gordon spending much of the early part of his career in his home state of Florida, the Sunshine State. Mentioned that he started out at Lakewood Ranch High School in Bradenton, then ended up at the University of Florida, but did not pitch a single game as a member of the Gators. First pitch to Jose Cibrians on the inside corner for a strike. But he ended up transferring to Hillsborough Community College, going the JUCO route. This one hit again towards second. Another nice play made by Hallmark. The throw, it's bobbled, though, at first. Mascai couldn't hang on to it, and into first base safely is Cibrian. That's one that Mascai wants to have back. It'll almost certainly be ruled an E3. It's a great play by Hallmark going deep in the hole to track that ball down. Made an accurate throw, but wonder if this guy crossed himself up with that stretch and just could not squeeze it. So one out base runner now for Carolina. And up steps the nine hitter Luis Silva, another guy who's had success against Fayetteville so far this season. Watches a called strike one. But from Hillsborough Community College, Gordon then moved back to Division I with the University of Central Florida. Had a really strong 2020, going 2-0 with a 2.35 during the COVID 2020 year that was cut short. Swing and a miss, 0-2 the count. After that, he returned for 2021 and picked up right where he left off, 5-2 with a 2.77 earned run average, as that one chopped off the foot of Silva, and he's a bit hobbled coming out of the box. But another untimely end to his season in 2021. This time, he had a UCL injury in that throwing elbow. Ended up going under the knife for Tommy John surgery 2 months prior to the draft last year. But Houston still liked what they saw before his injury. Ended up taking him in the eighth round as he continued to recover. Ended up in the FCL for six games before making his way to Fayetteville tonight. Silva getting looked at by the training staff. In the meantime, Alvarez will head to the mound to talk with Gordon.
Looked like that ball for Silva got right off the inside of his left toe. I think that's got him somewhere in the big toe area instead of the inside of the foot, which sometimes offers a little bit more padding there, but yeah, that'll be one that stings a bit. It's nice to have a lefty out there, though, Colin. You made a mention of it off the air that, you know, opposing base runners, when you're constantly seeing a righty every single time, it's not really a guessing game. Really, you just time it out right, and a right-handed pitcher doesn't vary their looks enough, you're going to have a lot of teams running on you. But now you add in that lefty, and it makes guys think a little bit more down there at first. We still haven't seen whether Colton Gordon really has a deceptive move yet, but I'd imagine he has something up his sleeve.
Cibrian at first, Silva, good to step back in the box. Count is 0-2. Breaking ball in the dirt. Stopped by Alvarez. 1-2. Gordon, in high school, his fastball was already sitting in the high 80s. And after going under the knife, good to see it still up in the mid-90s at this point in time. Ground ball to short. From his back, Molina to Hallmark for one. The stretch by Mascai. And the throw is in time. An acrobatic 6-4-3 double play on both ends. And just like that, Gordon gets out of the inning after the mistake by Mascai. He still ends up facing the minimum. We head to the home half of the third. Still scoreless from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Ultimate Pony Race. Double play Doug has our contestants and their ponies down on the field. Take it away, DP.
We have our contestants down here on the field. It's going to be Jayla. It's going to be Faye. Racing all the way down to their friends. There's Kira down there and June Claire. They're racing down. They're racing back. It's the greatest show on grass. You ladies ready? In 3, 2, 1, go ponies. Oh, go. Oh, look at the. Oh, there you go. They've got the form. Oh, they're killing it. Come on, Faye. Come on. All right, Kira. All right, June Claire. Ladies, go, 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 go. Come on, all the way back to me. Come on. So close. Oh, look at the cheater. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Congratulations, ladies. There you have it, folks. The pony races. We're coming back. Go Peckers!
I like the chill, so I drive up in my new Seville. My tribe went down in the Hall of Fame, cause I'm the one who shot Jesse James. Power for power, I will never break down. Big bang. No, sir, I don't mess around. Oh!
On the mound for the Mudcats, Alexander Corneal. Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 12, Leos Danny Molina.
Leos Danny Molina, who is the starter of an excellent 6-4-3 double play in the field to end the top of the inning, hits one on the ground right to short. Garcia comes up with it, throws onto Chirinos, and just like that, as soon as I introduce him, Molina grounds into a 6-3 putout, and Corneal doesn't get a strikeout. That ends a streak of four straight batters in a row retired via the K, but he is as efficient as ever. Only one hit allowed. That was the bloop single by Loperfido in the first inning, and he's already got the first out of the home half of the third. He'll face nine-hitter Yeris Ramirez, who takes a fastball up and away. Ramirez hitting 191 on the season, half a dozen home runs. Breaking pitch, outside corner. He's driven in 23 runs, on base percentage of 310, but he has RBIs in each of his last two games played. Fastball on the high and outside corner, 1-2. There's been stretches throughout the year where Yaris has been driving runs in bunches. Corneal misses with an off-speed inside.
And a three RBI game on Friday night in Kannapolis was a big piece of that 10-5 win.
2-2. Fastball called. Strike three on the outside corner. So one time through the order, and Alexander Corneal has struck out six Fayetteville Woodpeckers, and that's his first strikeout looking. He has quickly retired the first two batters he's faced in the third.
One more strikeout and it'll already tie the most in a game during July for Corneal. He struck out seven cannonballers over five innings back on July 4th, but the overall season high for him is 11, so he still has a little ways to go until that.
Says a lot, especially with how unhittable he's been in the month of July. That six is his season high, or his month high, rather. This one hit in the left field. It'll fall for a base hit. Hallmark takes a big turn at first, but he retreats with a two-out single. So Corneal, who's had a strong July on the mound, meets his match in the form of Jackson Hallmark, who has had a very great month himself.
Attacked that very first pitch, and that's one of the big differences in Hallmark. His first couple of months in the year when he was having his struggles, he maybe looked a little unsure of himself in that plate, watched a couple pitches go by until he felt comfortable, but with that confidence, you feel like you can go at that first pitch, and that's what makes Cerny such a dangerous hitter, and I think Hallmark trying to take a page out of that book.
It's Cerny who digs in with a runner on first and two down, watches ball one. Logan flew out to center field in his first trip. Hallmark a threat to run, but he stays put as the 1-0. Misses down and away. Something we've seen a lot more over the last couple of months from Cerny, being ahead in counts. And it has made all the difference in the world. A long pause by Corneal, the 2-0. Fastball misses high. It's actually a breaking ball that he left upstairs. 80 miles an hour. Corneal looking to avoid issuing his first walk of the evening. Comes set. Now the pitch. 3-0 swing from Cerny, and he fouls it straight back. Got the green light on the fastball, got his pitch, but couldn't quite get his hands on top of it. Looking for his 15th home run of the season. He's right up there in that home run chase coming into tonight. DJ Gladney of Kannapolis tied with Sammy Infante for the league lead at 16. Fastball, strike two called, and Hallmark will get a head start at first with a full count and two down. Joey Loperfido waits in the on-deck circle. Corneal gets his sign. Here's the 3-2. Breaking ball hit well. Center field once more. Hedbert Perez going back to the warning track in front of the wall. He leaps and makes the catch. Cerny didn't miss it by much. Needed another couple of feet to put the Woodpeckers ahead, but comes up just short. Allowed out number three to end, fittingly, the third inning. We go on to the fourth, still scoreless from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Coming to the plate for the Mudcats in the top of the fourth inning, the right fielder, number 9, Hendry Mendez.
Leadoff man Hendry Mendez digs back into the box to begin the fourth inning, still no score, and swings at the first pitch. Grounder through the dive of Hallmark. He can't quite get to this one. It's into right center field for a leadoff single. So Mendez, 2 for 2. He has both of the Mudcats' hits in this one against Colton Gordon, who's out for his fourth inning of work. Been very impressive so far. Kept his pitch count down. That was his 37th so far. Faced the minimum. He'll need another double play ball to try to keep that pattern going. Oswald Leones, who was his first strikeout victim, to the plate. Strike one. Pops out of the mitt of Alvarez, but he recovers to quickly pick it up. A couple of flashes of heat lightning out in right field beyond the fence, but no threat of rain at this point. Ground ball towards short. Molina fields it. Can't go to second with it. He throws to Mascai in time for the out at first for the first out of the inning. Probably the wise play there. A lot of speed with the leadoff man Mendez getting the jump on contact. Would have been a bang-bang play on a flip to Hallmark. So Molina using that veteran presence to get the sure out over at first.
Yeah, and Leo Stanley Molina gave Hallmark every chance to get over to second base. Problem was Hallmark's initial position was a little bit to the pull side with a lefty up, so he just couldn't get over to the bag in time. Otherwise, you're probably talking about a chance at a double play. Hallmark just wasn't quite able to get over.
So man in scoring position with one down in Jefferson Caro. Skies one off to the right. That'll find the seats. Caro struck out to end the top of the first inning, but it's been the best hitter in this lineup against Fayetteville pitching this season. Came in two tonight, hitting 333. has an opportunity to give Carolina an early lead with a runner in scoring position. Off speed, trying to front door him there was Gordon, but missed a little inside, according to home plate umpire Shea Graham. First of six games between these two teams here in Fayetteville. 1-1, breaking ball, and Caro tied up in knots once again. We saw him take a couple of big swings at some Gordon breaking balls in the first at-bat, and he just has not been able to get the timing down on it, way out in front. One ball, two strikes. Southpaw looks in, gets the sign from Alvarez. A couple of recent additions to this Fayetteville roster, and Gordon skips in. Another breaking ball, 2-2. I think this is definitely a guy you want behind the plate, though, in Jose Alvarez, if you're making your first start of someone who knows what it's like to compete for a spot in minor league baseball. A lot of experience. 2-2, fastball outside, and Caro works the count back full. Also helps that he's got a cannon back there as well.
Yeah.
Saw it on display when he threw out Mendez trying to swipe second base. The full count offering, breaking ball, and Caro just able to get a piece to stay alive. These two teams still have another series to play back on the road in August in Zebulon. Wrap up 24 games between the two. Ball kicks off of Gordon, hops into shallow center, and there's no play for Hallmark. A really strange play as Caro hit a grounder right at him, kicked off, his cleat went sky high. Plenty of time for Caro to scamper over to first, and Mendez is up to third, but smart from Hallmark to eat it, throw to first, and Mendez probably tried to take home. So that'll put runners at the corner, still a double play possibility with one down, and the cleanup man, Hedbert Perez, step into the box.
Now, I don't know how the glove of Colton Gordon somehow fell off his hand during that exchange, but he kind of backheeled it like a soccer play, and that thing was hit so high in the air, it got over Molina. Good heads-up play by Hallmark backing up that play. Otherwise, it would have skipped into center and scored a run.
Perez takes ball one. Fastball just off the outside part of the plate. There's some stretching going on in the Fayetteville bullpen as Perez wraps it on the ground. Foul outside of first. Don't see anyone throwing just yet. So a test here for Gordon. Get out of the jam himself. Again, that pitch count still in a good spot right now. 48. Infield at double play depth. Mendez at third. Caro at first. Caro on the move. Breaking ball swung on and missed. The throw down. Charging is Molina, the throw not in time, tag just late from Alvarez. Darting home on the throw was Mendez, and he slides just in time. It was a design play with Molina charging to try to draw that throw and dupe Mendez, but just too much speed from the leadoff man. He slides in safely for the opening run. The Mudcats take a 1-0 lead.
Boy, and it was well executed on the defensive end too there, Colin, with Molina stepping right in front of the second base bag. Quick transfer to the plate. Throw was on the money. Alvarez did look like he just barely missed Mendez, who slid towards the back corner of the bag there and made a good play as a runner to get away from that swipe tag from Alvarez.
1-2, swung on and missed, and Perez goes down on strike. So a good bounce back by Colton Gordon. He adds his fourth strikeout of his debut outing, and with a runner at second and two down, he'll just have to focus on the next batter, Eduardo Garcia. Garcia popped out to second. His first time up. Big lead at second by Caro. And the first pitch is laid off by Garcia. And the first home game since Sunday, July 10th, for these Woodpeckers. 1-0, a big balloon curveball grabs the outside corner. 1-1 count. Garcia hitting 274 on the season, 9 home runs and 45 driven in. Has an RBI chance here with two away, but he ducks out of the way of a fastball inside. So it's a stolen base for Caro. That ends up being his 10th on the play that drew the throw home, in which Mendez swiped the bag. 2-1, a late swing by Garcia. He's frustrated with himself. Didn't come close. It's 2-2. Gordon looking to complete his fourth inning of work. A look at second, and he'll spin off the rubber and bluff a throw. Stuff has certainly been impressive. If he's able to get out of this inning with just the one run allowed, I'm sure Fayetteville dugout will take it. Runner on the move, swung on and missed, strike three. Garcia goes down on strikes. Back-to-back punchouts to end the fourth inning for Colton Gordon, which has been a really strong debut from the southpaw out of Central Florida. However, Carolina does pick up the opening run of the ball game as Mendez comes in to score. 1-0 in the lead for the Mudcats through 3.5 from Segra Stadium.
Celebrate your birthday at the ballpark. Folks, this is 6-year-old Easton. Easton, can you say hi?
Hi.
Yes, it's Easton's birthday. And I need everybody in this stadium to help me sing happy birthday to him. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Happy birthday. Come on!
Happy birthday, Easton!
Happy birthday, Easton! You say go Packers, say go Packers.
Hmm?
Say go Packers.
Go Packers!
That's right!
Atta boy. There's not a better place to take in your birthday than at a Woodpeckers game. All birthday parties come with a birthday cake courtesy of Bernie's Sweets and More. Contact the Woodpeckers front office to schedule your birthday right here at Segra Stadium. Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers, the left fielder, number 36, Joey Loperfido.
Disaster.
I never thought I'd be in love like this.
Joey Loperfido makes his trip to the batter's box to begin the bottom of the fourth inning. First pitch from Alexander Corneal in for a strike. He's done all season long, coming in to knock you down by Kerry Hilson and Kanye West. Fastball up and away. And the count is even 1-1 to Loperfido. Philadelphia native 1-for-1 with a single to left. He sends this one down the left field line again, but clears the protective netting and it ends up out of play. Fun fact, I ended up learning this during the All-Star break, but Kerry Hilson, actually from Decatur, Georgia, fastball misses high. Not sure how I ended up learning that fact, but that's the same hometown as Logan Cerny.
Decatur, Georgia, yeah.
So that's how I spend my All-Star break. As you can see, I didn't have a whole lot going on.
Well, it adds value to the broadcast, Colin, so you had a good All-Star break in my opinion.
The 2-2 to Loperfido. Breaking ball just outside. Corneal thought he had what would have been his 7th strikeout of the ball game. Oprofito, the former Duke Blue Devil, trying to get on base for the second time tonight. Payoff pitch, and he does. Misses high and outside, and for the first time tonight, Fayetteville has a leadoff man on. Oprofito representing the tying run. Trots on down to first. Justin Williams will look to keep the momentum going. Former Penn State Nittany Lion has the other hit in the ball game so far for Fayetteville.
So you get the leadoff runner on. First time tonight you've done that. Let's see if the Woodpeckers can try and string together a couple of base runners. It's really been the root of their issues over the last couple of weeks or so. Guys will sprinkle in good at-bats here and there, but nothing really coming in consecutive ABs, and now you have the heart of the order to try and do something.
Throw over, and that one nearly got over the head of Jesus Chirinos. Loprofito back with a dive, one of several quick guys in this Woodpeckers lineup. Of course, Logan Cerny leading the team in stolen bases with 31. Corneal delivers, and that ball is tagged. Deep left field, turning around and watching it sail out of here is Oswald Leones, a two-run home run for Justin Williams. Third home run of the season for Williams in his first of the month of July. Safe to say that power outage has ended with one big swing.
You can see it on Williams' face. That one is satisfying to him. It looked like the swing he put on a ball back in Delmarva against the Shorebirds for his first home run of the year. Up an inside pitch that he cracked the left center field, same spot he went deep in for his first home run of the season. But now he gets one out of Segra. And there you go, leadoff man on. Next guy follows him up with a dinger. That's how it's done.
Two quick balls to Victor Miskai. So Alexander Corneal looked untouchable the first three innings. All it took was a walk from Loprofito, and he's having trouble locating now after giving up the big bomb from Williams. Does get Miskai to foul a pitch off straight back, but that ball also caught a ton of the plate. Miskai awaits the 2-1 out in front of that breaking ball. So Corneal battles back to even the count. Corneal gets the sign working from the windup. 2-2 is on the inside corner and at the knees for strike three. Miskai, not a fan of that call, and he walks back to the dugout 0-2 with a pair of punch-outs now. Fayetteville, that is their 80th home run of the season. Still among the top three in the Carolina League. They were leading that category for a long time, till a bit of a drought in the back half of June took them back a couple of spots. Tyler Whitaker takes ball one. But starting to get that power back in the lineup, and always good to see Williams starting to drive the ball and get that launch angle. It's 2-0 to Whitaker. The doubles were still there in the month of July for Williams, had four of them coming into tonight. So he has been finding the gaps, just hasn't been able to get one over the wall, and he had enough distance and then some. 3-0 to Whitaker. Looks to keep the inning alive. And he does with a one-out walk, actually, so no matter what, he would have been able to do so, but never saw a competitive pitch in that at-bat, so Corneal, after going the first three innings without issuing any walks, he has now sent two batters to first base via the free pass in the fourth. That brings up Jose Alvarez. Struck out swinging when Corneal fanned the side in the second, and he can't make contact on the first pitch here. Whitaker with a decent-sized leadoff first. 0-1 and foul tipped into the mitt by Alvarez, who has recorded multiple hits in each of his first two games with Fayetteville, coming in the previous series against the Kannapolis Cannonballers. That three-game set after the All-Star break, wrapping up 24 games between the two North Carolina rivals. 0-2, fastball outside. So barring any postseason meeting, which actually is impossible at this point for Fayetteville and Kannapolis, so they won't see each other again until next year. A swing and Alvarez comes up empty. That is strike three, the ninth strikeout in the ball game now for Cornell. Pardon me, that's actually his eighth. So he continues to mow down Fayetteville batters, and good response, striking out two of the last three batters he's faced after giving up the home run. That'll bring up Leo's Danny Molina. And the shortstop takes ball one. Molina had a home run in the last series between these two teams. Launched it over the big left field wall at Five County Stadium. Coming in the first inning. Give his team a 2-0 lead. There's a pop-up behind home plate. Giving it a look is Cibrian, but he just runs out of room. That ball cleared the protective netting by a matter of inches and lands on the concrete below. Count now 1-1. Whitaker on first with two down and two home in the inning. Foul tip knocks the mask off of home plate umpire Shea Graham, and he didn't even flinch. Looks like he's okay as well. Just picks it right back up. His counterpart, Michael Corbett, or his partner, I should say, taking a look at him, making sure he's all right. But looks like Shea's fine. Just adjusting the cap. He's got a smile on his face. This game starting about 45 minutes after the initial scheduled start time after a storm rolled through the area. Did cool off the scorching hot temperatures a bit, providing some relief from the heat. Rained pretty heavy for about 15 to 20 minutes. Big jump over at first. The 1-2 is in the dirt. Goes all the way to the backstop. Whitaker caught between second and third. The throw comes to second, and Whitaker dives into third safely. Whitaker was going on the pitch. It goes to the backstop. Cibrian recovered quickly. And he kind of wasn't sure where to throw the ball, so he ends up taking his chances at second, and Whitaker got what he was looking for, bolted on to third. He takes two bases on the wild pitch. He'll get a stolen base for second and advancing to third on the wild pitch as well. He's now 90 feet away from an insurance run with a 2-2 count and two outs in the inning. Molina lays off the breaking ball upstairs. So Whitaker with his 12th stolen base of the season, the 3-2 pitch. Molina stays alive. That pitch count is soared for Cornell. Came into the inning having thrown 47 pitches. He's thrown 27 so far in the bottom of the fourth inning. Trying to avoid what would be his third straight loss to the Woodpeckers. And Molina hits a drive left center field. Going back towards the track, the wall, it one hops the wall and glances high off that black padding. In to score is Whitaker, in to second is Molina, and RBI double makes it 3-1 Fayetteville.
Hit it right into the cutout out there where it measures 368. A little bit more to the left, a little more to the pull side, and Molina probably has the same result as Justin Williams a moment ago with a two-run home run, but that's a great swing for Leo Stanley Molina. That's the kind of ball he just couldn't find in Myrtle Beach or Kannapolis. Been struggling to hit those gappers in July, so maybe that'll open something up for him. And this has been that inning, Colin, where we mentioned it right at the top. Lo Perfido leads off with a walk. Can you get the rest of your guys to start linking together some hits? They're not only hitting the ball, but they're pummeling the ball right now against Cornell, and now a much-needed meeting on the mound with his pitching coach.
Just trying to settle things down. There is some action in the bullpen for Carolina. but not the inning that Alexander Cornejo was looking for. He'd been cruising not just tonight, but for the past couple of starts ever since his last game in Fayetteville towards the end of June, where he got hit around, didn't make it out of the third inning. Right now, he's hoping to get out of the fourth. Another runner in scoring position for the Woodpeckers. Three home. And Yuris Ramirez, who's been driving in a lot of runs lately, has another RBI chance. Nine-hitter struck out looking last inning. Swings at the first pitch, a one-handed finish, and he glances it off the backstop, foul. Really, the walks, though, making all the difference in the world. Two of those runs coming in reached via a walk. Molina takes a leadoff second. Cornejo fires home, and Ramirez with another swing and another foul ball. Peckers trying to end a two-game losing skid. Trying to win another series opener. Won each of the last two. Couple of looks at second. Now Cornejo fires home, and Ramirez skies one out to right field. This one is playable for Mendez, who trails to his left, makes the catch, and the inning is over. But not before Fayetteville responds with three runs in the bottom of the fourth inning, including a two-run home run by Justin Williams and an RBI double from Leo's Danny Molina. And the home team leads it 3-1. We head to the fifth from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Tacos, 1, 2, 3. It's Taco Tuesday. Look at the video board and give us your best summer sizzle for the Smithfield Sizzle Cam. This Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 19, Shea Barry. Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Mudcats, the first baseman, number 29, Jesus Chirinos.
To the fifth we go from Segra Stadium. Colton Gordon's debut is done. He goes four innings, allowing just one run, and has his team ahead 3-1. Shea Barry takes over on the mound, and Andrew Chapman takes over on the play-by-play.
All right, thanks, Colin. The pitch from Barry is tight on Chirinos. Inside 2-0. Chirinos, Zach Robbie, Jose Cibrian, 6-7-8 to bat for the Mudcats. Second time through the lineup. But first time seeing Barry, here's the throw. And it's a little outside with a slider. You have the three-pitch mix with Shea Barry, the slider, the changeup, and a two-seam fastball that has some sink action to it. Call it a sinker, if you will. Barry does. 3-0 pitch is a little inside. Four pitches and a walk given up to Chirinos. Opening the fifth inning. That's something Colton Gordon did not do in his debut today. He gave up three hits, all singles, two to Henry Mendez and a base hit to Jefferson Guerrero. The one earned run, which came on that double steal, the successful double steal between Mendez and Guerrero in the fourth. It was a close play at the plate. Alvarez tried to tag Mendez, just barely missed him. Zach Robbie is up, lines the first pitch out to center, sinking quick, and that'll fall for a knock. Chirinos strides to second, and the first two men have reached against Shea Berry in the fifth.
But you think about the three hits that Gordon gave up. One of them was an infield single to begin the ball game, a tough chopper that kind of was in no man's land, not hard contact. And the other one, you had that crazy ground ball up the middle that kicked off his leg and went sky high. So it's not like he was getting hit hard. He was generating soft contact, had the strikeout pitch working. And like you said, Chappie, most important thing, zero walks.
Yep, no walks in the five strikeouts. Got two of them in the very first inning and two in his final inning. Wrapped up his night with back-to-back strikeouts. Got Hedbert Perez and Eduardo Garcia, a couple of hitters right in the middle of Carolina's order. Also, the five strikeouts came to five different Carolina batters. And now Berry hits a man. That ran inside. Berry thought it might have hit the handle of the bat, but it did not. It got Cibrian on the backside, and the bases are loaded up. Chirinos down to third. Zach Robbie to second, Cibrian on, and right away the Woodpeckers' two-run advantage that they grabbed in the bottom of the fourth is in some jeopardy. And John Kovalik is going out to the mound to try and calm down his new right-hander.
That happened so quickly, too. Four-pitch walk and then a quick single from Zach Robbie, and it comes in just Barry just unable to find the zone. This Carolina Mudcats team's giving him problems. He had some issues on the road last time these two teams met. Jackson Shorio, of course, as you mentioned, top of the broadcast, got the call up to Wisconsin, took him deep at Five County Stadium. So already pitched himself into a bit of a corner. Question is, can he find himself out of it? He's looking for an out any way possible.
Overall season numbers for Berry coming into tonight. He has an 0-3 record and a 7.71 ERA. He's pitching in his 12th game of the year. And seventh out of the bullpen. And even 35 innings of work, he has given up 30 earned runs, five home runs, go along with 26 walks and 39 strikeouts. But again, he has that sinker ball in his arsenal, which can draw some ground ball contact. See if he might get something like that out of Luis Silva. And a first pitch in the zone, slapped away, foul. Strike one on Silva, who did roll into a double play his first time up. That was a 6-4-3 inning ender in the third with Colton Gordon on the mound. Again, Gordon's debut done after four innings of one-run ball, the longest of his career, those four innings. The pitch to Silva. Inside, that almost hit him. So that was that two-seam sinker that was biting in towards the ankles of Silva. This will be the 10th pitch for Berry here. He has the bases loaded already. Chirinos to third, Robbie at second, Cibrian at first. Berry at the belt. His kick and throw is a call to strike on the inside, even though Alvarez couldn't squeeze it. It looked like a slider that had some late break to it. It caused Silva to step out of the box. I think he thought it was going to plunk him on the hip. Instead, it broke into the zone against the righty batter. On the grass, Williams playing shallow at third. Middle infield press back. Miskai shallow as well. And first, here's a ground ball. It's hit towards third, but it's booted by Williams. He picks up, and there's no play. Just what Berry was looking for, some soft contact on the ground. It went to Williams, and it seemed as though he turned his head towards second base, getting ready to start a double play, took his eyes off it, and that ball rolled off his shoulder. It'll be a critical E5 that allows a run to score. Everybody is safe. The base is still loaded. Torino scores, Robbie to third, Cibrian to second, and Silva down to first. It's a one-run game, 3-2. Tying and go-ahead runs are in scoring position, and Henry Mendez, the leadoff hitter, 2-for-2. He's up for a third time, and a first pitch fastball off of the plate, 1-0.
Absolute killer, and it's been a kind of a theme the last week or so with Fayetteville, just a team that struggled defensively, and really strange to see after how strong they were the first couple of months of the season.
Pitch outside, and it's 2-0 on Mendez. Yeah, Fayetteville only committed one error on Sunday, but they committed three on Saturday night in Kannapolis and four in that opener, a game that they won 10-5. They committed four errors in. So 8 errors as a defense over a 3-game series is suboptimal. Pitch inside. That got Mendez. Slider clipped him on the back left foot, sends him hobbling off the plate, and it'll tie this game. Zach Robbie comes home from third. Cibrian goes to third. Silva to second. Mendez to first on the second hit-by-pitch of the inning from Shea Berry.
It's been a really rough month or so for Berry. I mean, he was having such a strong May and June, and then that outing at home against Augusta where he had a rough first inning happen, gave up a couple of home runs, and since then he just hasn't been able to get that rhythm. We saw him in coming off that major shoulder injury, and you wonder if it might be a confidence thing here. Not exactly sure what it is, but obviously the error didn't help, but also doesn't help when you hit a couple of batters and also put a guy on via walk.
Oswald Leones looks at the first pitch, a sinker outside, 1-0. The best stretch of Shea's season was in the middle of June, June 14th and June 21st, a pair of games between Kannapolis and Augusta. And he combined to go 8 scoreless over there. Here's a broken bat. Bouncer towards third. Williams fields on the grass, goes home, gets the force out and saves the run. Keeps this game tied 3-3. Williams gets a chance to redeem himself after committing the fielding error a couple of batters ago. And that'll be a fielder's choice for Leones as he makes it on. The runner thrown out of the plate with Cibrian. Base is still loaded, but one at a time right now for Berry. That's what you have to tell yourself on the mound.
That's something that everybody needed. Berry, Williams, and really the entire Woodpeckers roster. Just a nice, easy out. Get the lead runner. Keep it a tie ball game. And now you have options here with one down.
Kiro takes a slider outside, 1-0. Good thing for Berry right now is just that he hasn't given up a ton of hard contact. Just the soft single to center from Robbie and then those pair of ground balls. That's been it. Here's the 1-0 pitch to Kiro, and it's a slider that cuts to the middle. Good pitch. 1-1 now on the Carolina catcher that is DHing tonight. He's the best arm they have behind the plate, Kiro, when he's playing on the defensive end, but tonight just reserved to the hitting duties. 1-1, cracked right center field, sprinting to his left is Cerny, and he's able to measure it, making a lunging grab. That's deep enough to score Silver from third. The Mudcats have taken a 4-3 lead. A sacrifice fly for Kiro, more like a sacrifice searing liner. And Logan Cerny able to cut that ball off, and it got by him. That's scoring three. A good play, and if you're Berry right now, I guess he'll trade the out for the run, but Carolina has scored three now, and they lead for the second time in this game, 4-3 ball game.
That ball was sharply hit. Great job by Cerny, who didn't take the best route to that ball, but it's hard to take a good route to a ball sinking that quickly, able to make the catch and keep it only one run coming across while securing the out.
Runners are now at the corners. Mendez advanced on the fly ball. Leones did not. Lefty Hedbert Perez took the first pitch for a ball. 20 pitches now in this fifth inning of work for Berry. Runner on the move to second, a swing and a miss. Throw down from Alvarez, hits the runner right in the middle of the back. Molina tries to play the ricochet but won't have a play at the plate. Mendez comes striding in, and now Leone is going to be a little sore down there at second base. He took it right above the middle of the waist. And it's the second successful double steal today for Carolina. They pulled one off with runners at the corners in the fourth, scored Mendez. This time, the double steal brings in Mendez again. The 1-1 pitch to Perez is just a little bit outside. 2-1.
I trust Alvarez's arm to make that throw, but I think situationally, in this instance where you already have several runs coming across the score, the best course of action is just to cut your losses and give him that base.
I agree. 2-1 is fouled off the leg of Perez.
Obviously, we saw him make that great throw on Mendez to get him to end that first inning, but in a situation where your pitcher's given up three runs, had a rough inning, I think you're better off just letting him try to work his way out of it with two outs and getting a force out at first base.
2-2 pitch to Perez is hit on the ground sharply towards second. Hallmark moves to his left, scoops it in with two hands, and throws lazily on to first, and that ends the inning. A four-run inning for the Carolina Mudcats. They had just one hit in that inning, though. The single by Zach Robbie run scoring on a sacrifice fly, stolen base, hit by pitch and error as well. And the Mudcats now carry a 5-3 advantage as we are halfway through it and play the bottom of the fifth next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Tacoma Prize, courtesy of Hutchins Law Firm. Tonight's high-performance season ticket holder of the game is Glenn and Dale Riddle. Congratulations, and thank you for being season ticket members. On the mound for the Mudcats, Alexander Corneal. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the second baseman, number 2, Jackson Hallmark.
After going up a pair, the Woodpeckers now find themselves down to 5-3 in the bottom of the fifth inning. Alexander Corneal gave up the lead, and now he has it back. 4-run top of the fifth for the Mudcats. Jackson Hallmark leads it off. The first pitch was high. Next one, fastball strike on the outer corner. 1-1. Jackson Hallmark has one of the 4 Fayetteville base hits today, a single that he pulled on a line into left back in the third. He's 1-2. The pitch home. 1-1 steers him away, and that's a slider that misses in. 81st make it right there for Alexander Corneal. Hallmark has also struck out against Corneal today. Here's the pitch. It is a high slider, but called strike 2. Even 2-2 on Hallmark. Cerny and Loperfido. It's the top 3 of the order, scheduled to bat for a third time. And here comes the break even. Hallmark spoils it off and keeps it at 2-2.
Seen Corneal work into the mid-90s in his pitch count, so if he's able to keep it efficient, might be able to put himself in line for the victory.
Jackson Hallmark with that base hit as he takes the pitch outside and high, 3-2 full count. He got back up to the 200 mark, and he's been flirting right with that 200 mark, which is good for him considering he was in the 170s for a lot of the season. 3-2 payoff, and he hits a line drive right center field. That will touch down for a single. And Jackson Hallmark has himself a multi-hit game tonight. Continues to produce at the top of the order. And when we were talking with Joe Thon, the manager, pregame today, he said, love what Hallmark's doing at the plate, but even more so than what he's doing at the plate, when he gets on base, that's where he's the most dangerous as a runner, as a risk taker. And we've needed him on base more, and that's what his recent swings at the plate have given the Woodpeckers, another speedy runner to contend with. And now Logan Cerny is in. Fastball taken for a strike. Back-to-back innings now where the Woodpeckers have put the leadoff man on. When they did it in the fourth, Justin Williams followed with a 2-run home run. Here's Cerny trying to do something with the leadoff man aboard. And the 0-1 pitch is cracked out into right field, but this is hit too high up there. A high arcing fly to Mendez, and in front of the warning track, he has room and makes the catch. Fires onto the infield, and Hallmark, who faked a tag, will go back to first.
Seems like Cerny's got the timing down on Corneal. He's had three fly balls. The second one missed getting over the fence by a matter of feet. Just hasn't been able to square it up and drive that pitch. But good to see him put three balls in play and not miss any of them by much.
Woodpeckers now out hitting the Mudcats. Five hits to the Carolina four. Loperfido stays off the first one. A slider that missed just a little bit inside, maybe low as well. 1-0 on the lefty, Loperfido. He's been on in both plate appearances. A soft single out to left in the first and then a walk in the fourth. He scored the first run of the day on the Williams two-run home run. Williams stands on deck. He'd love to hit with multiple base runners on. After the swing he put on the ball in the fourth inning, a left center field bullpen shot. 2-0 now to Loperfido. Last pitch was a fastball below the zone. There's a heavy shift on him right now, and we haven't seen that too often against Loperfido this year. 2-0 pitch is a slider that curls around that corner and is called strike one. Two balls and a strike. They have the third baseman, Silva, way off of that line. He's playing a shallow shortstop right now, and Garcia is pressed over as far as he can go under the Carolina League shift rules. 2-1 is popped up opposite way along the left field line. Leone is drifting towards that chalk line. Has to make a catch off to his glove hand side, one-handed. And Loperfido flies out. Well, he went the opposite way of the shift, but got too far underneath that ball like Cerny's fly out. And a pair of outs following the Jackson Hallmark single. He's staying down at first. We'll see if he tries to get aggressive at all right here, but maybe no need with Justin Williams stepping in. Mentioned his two-run home run in the fourth inning. Put the Woodpeckers up 2-1. They now trail 5-3. A quick flip of the script after Carolina scored four in the top of the fifth inning against Shea Berry. First pitch, a fastball in the zone for strike one to Williams. He's also struck out against Cornell. The pitch fouled straight back.
This is a big batter for Cornell. That was pitch number 92. Pretty much now or never. Could very well be the last batter he faces, and a good start to this AP against a guy who took him yard just last inning.
Pablo Garabitos is the left-hander out there warming in the pen. Cornell needs a strike to get out of this fifth. Here it comes. It's high. One ball and two strikes to Williams. Doesn't look like Hallmark has any interest in trying to get aggressive down there. Third baseman Silva kind of guarding that line, playing a deep third base. And now the pitch out of the stretch is a slider darting low and outside. The count is 2-2.
This will set a season high. Coincidentally, 94 pitches his previous coming against Fayetteville right here in this ballpark.
The pitch to Williams is popped out of play. And he'll see a 96th pitch. Not Williams, but a 96th pitch will be thrown by Cornell tonight. Williams now with three home runs on the year following the two-run homer earlier tonight, and he's driven in 17, playing in his 33rd game for the Woodpeckers. A look down to first where Hallmark increases that lead. A second look by Cornell. The 2-2 pitch is down and away, and the count fills on Williams. It is three balls and two strikes. Carolina in the sixth inning will have Garcia, Chirinos, and Robbie, 5, 6, and 7. Williams trying to get Victor Muscai to the plate. 2-2 pitch. A 3-2 make it, and Williams strikes out swinging on a low slider. That would have been ball four and put him on. But Cornell closes out five innings and likely his night with the strikeout. It was working for him for most of the game. He finishes with 9 strikeouts over 5 innings and gives up the 3 runs all coming in the fourth. Departs with a 5-3 lead. We play the sixth next from Segra Stadium.
Stationed with the Berlin Brigade in the 1970s. He retired in 2005 and then went on to work for the Joint Special Operations Command, which is a key player for the Department of Defense. He's here tonight watching the game with his grandchild. Fans, let's hear it for Sergeant Major Brian Gallagher. Thank you for your service.
Men who die.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Shea Barry.
And it's time we stand and say.
Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Mudcats, the shortstop, number 13, Eduardo Garcia.
The five-hitter Eduardo Garcia leads off the top of the sixth inning. First pitch from Shea Barry is a low and outside slider. Ball 1-2 Garcia. Barry came on in the fifth behind the starter Colton Gordon and ended up giving up four runs. I believe three of those are going to end up being earned on Barry as Garcia flies a ball out into deep center field. Cerny drifting back on it, gets to the start of the warning track and makes the catch about 15 feet from that fence. And Garcia flies out for the first out of the inning. So there's at least a better start for Shea than the fifth inning when he walked a man, gave up a single, and hit a batter. And the bases were loaded on him in pretty much seven pitches. And so now he works with nobody on, one away. Jesus Chirinos is up. The starter, Colton Gordon, a good debut for him. Lefty, four innings of one-run ball, no walks, five strikeouts. See if Barry can settle in. His swing and a miss starts out Jesus Chirinos. Is it down an inside changeup? Barry shakes the head and now nods to Alvarez. Target set inside. And a swing and a miss on a slider at 85. Carved into the outside corner. It's 0-2. Chirinos has struck out. Also reached on that walk in the fifth. And he was the first of the four runs to come home in the inning. Chirinos scored on a ball that was bobbled by Justin Williams down at third. With the infield playing in, the bases loaded, he wanted to come to the plate with it or maybe turn two, but mishandled, and Chirinos was able to cross home. 1-2 pitch is in the dirt. That was the 30th pitch of the night for Shea Barry. Evens things at 2-2 on Chirinos. Hallmark playing towards the middle. Mascai off of that first baseline. Break even is a slider low and outside. Three balls and two strikes on Barry. That'll make it for Barry against Chirinos. And here's the payoff. Outside, he lost him. So Barry gets ahead 1-2 on that count to Chirinos, but ends up giving the walk, and that's the second walk for Barry along with the two hit-by-pitches. Both walks have coincidentally gone to Jesus Chirinos. Now it brings up Zach Robbie.
And all you can do now at this point is try to correct what went wrong last time through this part of the order. Of course, Robbie had the single, and Cibrian after him was hit by a pitch. So all you can really ask out of yourself is just to try to get these next couple of batters and try to right some of the wrongs.
Yes, a spin away from the first pitch. A sinker running up and in on Robbie. 1-0. Robbie is lined out to the second baseman Hallmark, singled and scored in the fifth. The pitch with the runner on the move. It is up and in. Here's the throw from Alvarez, and it beats Chirinos to the bag by half a century. Well, Alvarez had delivered a couple of hard throws earlier in the game. He did catch a runner, Hendry Mendez, stealing in the first. The Mudcats had gotten crafty with a couple of double steals since in the fourth and the fifth inning, but that time Jesus Chirinos is gunned down by Alvarez, and it was not close. That throw arrived in plenty of time. Zach Robbie ready for the 2-0, and there's a center cut strike. Make it 2-1.
And that's why when the situation's right, there's very few guys you trust more with a throw down to second than Jose Alvarez.
A nod of the head and the 2-1 offering. Scoots Robbie off the plate. That was a knee-level sinker. Cutting in towards the knees. I believe the count is 3-1. Yes, it is. 3-1 on Robbie. Infield playing deep, but straight up. The pitch is a strike on the inside. Three balls, two strikes, full to Robbie. And Shea Barry trying to face the minimum in the sixth, thanks to his catcher Alvarez. Looking for his first strikeout as well. The payoff to Robbie sends him spinning away from the plate. And Barry will walk another. Man on first, two out, and Jose Cibrian the next scheduled. For Barry, he's got to be thinking in his head, how do I find what was working for me in May and June? We mentioned his best stretch of the year. That was June 14th, June 21st. He combined to go eight scoreless innings across a start and a relief outing against Kannapolis and Augusta. First pitch is a little inside to Cibrian. He backs away from the right side, and it's 1-0. His season ERA, Colin, at that point was at 2.63, and that was across seven games. So he was racking up the innings and had one of the lowest ERAs on the club. Fastball up and in. He changed his arm slot this year. He's coming a little bit more sidearm. He took the four-seam fastball out of the repertoire, and then June 26th at here at home against Augusta, facing a team that he went four scoreless against earlier in the week. That's when things really started to spiral. He gave up the eight earned runs over two innings. There's a strike to Cibrian. And since then, he's been giving up a lot of runs in every outing. Only gave up two earned runs in three innings on July 2nd, but then five against Down East. He had the eight earned against Myrtle Beach. A good offense. Runner on the move. Robbie going to second. Here's a lazy line drive that spins past Mascai and trickles into shallow right field. Robbie will hustle all the way down to third. And a hit and run. A little bit of an odd hit and run on a fisted liner from Cibrian that just got past Mascai and will put runners on the corners.
Made a good pitch inside part of the plate. Yeah. Cibrian just able to get his hands around and flip it right over the glove of Mascai with the runner going. Can't ask for a better location to drop a ball in on a hit and run to get your guy to third base. So even after the base is empty and two down, Carolina just managing to turn nothing out of something as far as scoring threats go against Shea Barry.
Now it's Luis Silva, nine-hitter, trying to add on to a 5-3 lead. He swings the first pitch and lofts this into shallow right. Hallmark going out on it, and he miscommunicated with Whitaker, and the ball falls in between them. Zach Robbie scores from third. Cibrian running the whole way makes it to third base, and Silva gets on with what will likely be a RBI single. Hallmark was calling for it. He was out there, and at the last minute, he gave way to Whitaker, thinking Whitaker was going to make the catch, but he stopped in his tracks, and it split the two of them.
That's a ball that has to be Whitaker's the whole way. I'm not sure. Obviously, Hallmark thought he had a good beat on the ball at first, but just ball was too far out there for him to get underneath. That should be the right fielder all day.
Henry Mendez is the new left-hander. He'll get to hit with runners on the corners now as well. It is a 6-3 Fayetteville lead. And here comes the pitch. It is outside. Ball one.
And you think back to the play earlier in the ball game, back in the second inning where Hallmark went out and made a catch on a similar ball, and you wonder if that was the thought process between both Hallmark and Whitaker. That was a ball that Jackson can get to, but that just wasn't the case.
That got between the legs of Alvarez, and the runner at third holds up. Zach Robbie's played in this ballpark before, and he knows how quickly that ball can springboard off of the net, come back to home plate, and a wise hold by him on a wild pitch. That sends Cibrian to the runner at third. Robbie was the runner that came in on that drop fly ball. Silva now at second base. Mendez ready, and here's the pitch. It is a fastball, that sinker just outside. Ball four to Mendez. Third walk of the inning by Barry. And he's fourth of the game.
Yeah, just between Barry struggling to control his command and a couple of misplayed balls there, Fayetteville. It seems like some of those issues that came in the end of the Kannapolis series are lingering over into the start of this one.
So bases loaded back up. You have Cibrian at third, Silva at second, Mendez at first. Here's the pitch. And Oswald Leones, the new hitter, takes down and outside for ball one. It's not the inning you thought that Barry would have to be dealing with here after he got the fly out, the walk, and then the runner caught stealing. He had nobody on, two out. The pitch inside, and that hits Leonis. Got him on the right foot, and will bring home another run. It's now a 7-3 Carolina lead. The second batter that Barry has hit with the bases loaded, and the third batter he has plunked over his inning and a third.
This is a frustrating one right now for Barry as John Kovalik will make another trip out to the mound to try to calm him down. I think the most frustrating part about it, bases empty, two down. Then you have the walk, the hit and run that just got over the glove of Mascai. Really been a game of inches in this sixth inning. Ball that drops in right field, thought it would be the third out. And then a walk and a hit by pitch after that. Just nothing going the Woodpeckers' way the last two innings in the field. Frustrating last couple of frames for Fayetteville.
Elsewhere around the Carolina League tonight, there's some other ball games going on. New series firing up. Delmarvin Lynchburger in a close, high-scoring game. Delmarva leading 9-7, but right now Lynchburg has the bases loaded, nobody out in the bottom of the ninth inning, and they've already scored a run. So the tying run is on second for the Hillcats, and the winning run on first. Keep you updated on how that finishes in Lynchburg, Virginia. Jefferson Kirol, the new hitter. For the second straight inning, Barry has to face eight Carolina Mudcats. He faced eight in the fifth, now eight more here in the sixth. And his first pitch misses off the plate to the outside. A little bit of light catch being played now out in the Fayetteville bullpen. A right-hander starting to loosen. The 1-0 pitch is called a strike on the inner half.
That game out in Lynchburg, the Hillcats actually led 4-0 early in the ball game. So Shorebirds, despite being in a bad spot in the division, not quitting.
Charleston blowing out down east tonight at the Joe, 10-2. Pop fly, this will get over the net and out of play. 1-2 on Kiro. Augusta, they are edging out Myrtle Beach today in the bottom of the eighth inning, 5-3. The Woodpeckers could find a way to come back tonight. It'd be nice to make up a game on Myrtle Beach, a team in front of them. Now Augusta is the team immediately in front of them in fifth, so that's an important series to watch this week. 1-2, Barry strikes out Kirol, and that ends the inning. First strikeout of the night for Barry, ends in another turbulent frame. As Carolina scratches across two more runs to lead this ballgame 7-3. They do strand the bases loaded, though. As we go to the bottom of the sixth, Woodpeckers down four on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and the MILB First Pitch app.
Yes. Take it away, DP.
So here we are on top of the dugout. Thanks to Blanton's, we got ourselves a couple of frozen T-shirts and a couple of contestants. It's Ralph versus Joseph. Get it on as much as you can. Are you ready? In three, two, one, go! Go, 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 go! It's frozen. It's literally frozen. Oh, going for the dugout. They're going for it. Oh, savage, these guys. Don't break the glasses. You still got time. Get it on as far as you can. Keep moving. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. It's Ralph! It's Ralph! Ralph has won the Bland's Frozen T-shirt contest. Congratulations, young man. Let's say go Packers.
Go Packers.
That's right.
This Mudcats pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Mudcats, number 26, Ryan Middendorf. Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the first baseman, number 17, Victor Mascai.
Woodpeckers down 7-3 And Victor Mizgai leads off against New Carolina right-hander Ryan Middendorf. And a first-pitch fastball clips the corner at 92. And it's a no-ball, one-strike count on Mizgai, who struck out in both trips tonight. Middendorf taking over for Alexander Corneal, starting pitcher for the Mudcats. Corneal goes five complete, gives up the three earned runs, all coming in the fourth. He walked two, struck out nine, and is eligible for his fourth winning decision of the year. Also surrendered a total of five Woodpeckers hits. Mizgai in a 2-1 count. Middendorf, a tall right-hander, works out of the windup and pitches. And he works a slider around the corner. Called strike two and two. Middendorf this year for the Mudcats. No record, no ERA. He's only pitching in his third relief outing. The offer. Mizgai got a piece of it and fouled it off of the catcher, Cibrian. Keeps it at 2-2. And Middendorf is not allowed a run yet in the Carolina League. A good start to his Mudcats campaign. Three innings of shutout ball. He's given up three base hits. Hasn't walked a batter. And struck out five. He was added to the Carolina roster from the Brewers Arizona Complex League back on January 14th, right before the All-Star break. 2-2 pitch again to Mizgai, and that's low and outside, but he gets rung up looking.
It's the second one that Mizgai has gotten rung up on that looked either low or outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. That pitch looked a good 2-3 inches off the plate. So, looks like the Woodpeckers defense, not the only one having a rough night out there.
Yeah, that was not particularly close. Haven't had a huge issue tonight with Shea Graham's zone, but that one was worthy of an argument from Mizgai. I'm surprised he just turned away and walked back to the dugout. We're a little bit offset to the plate here in the booth, but generally have a sense a little more on those outside pitches to lefties. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Whitaker and a swing at a high fastball, 96. Middendorf really lighting up the radar gun. A Cincinnati, Ohio native that went to college in Lake Erie, Ohio. He kicks and delivers the 0-2. Whitaker strikes out on three fastballs. Tyler goes still for two. He did walk and score a run back in the fourth, but a couple of strikeouts, a part of his night. And now here is Jose Alvarez. The Woodpeckers have struck out in order once already tonight, and it was these three hitters. It was Mizgai, Whitaker, and Jose Alvarez. So these three guys will try and avoid the same fate, and they do. A ground ball hit out towards short. It's gloved by Garcia, and a throw down to first gets Alvarez for a 1-2-3 bottom of the sixth inning. We play the seventh next. The Woodpeckers trail 7-3.
It's time to feel the love. Take a look at the Segratron and pucker up for the ERA Strother Real Estate Kiss Cam.
I don't want another heartbreak. I don't need another turn to cry. No, I don't want to learn the hard way. Baby, hello. Oh, no. Goodbye. But you got me like a rocket shooting straight across the sky. It's the way you love me. It's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion. It's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment. This kiss, this kiss, unstoppable. This kiss, this kiss. Cinderella said to Snow White, how does love get so off course? Oh, all I wanted was a white knight with a good heart, soft touch, fast horse. Ride me off into the sunset, baby, I'm forever yours. It's the way you love me. Motion. It's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment. It's unthinkable. This kiss, this kiss. Unsinkable. This kiss, this kiss.
You can. Band means it's time for the Budweiser Zero Last Call for any alcohol. Alcohol purchases at our concession stands will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol.
Jay Berry returns to the mound to pitch the top of the seventh inning. Carolina has scored six runs against Berry over the last couple of innings, so he'll hope for a more efficient seventh. Keep the game where it is with his offense a few more chances tonight. To take you through the seventh on the play-by-play, let's send it back to Colin Casey.
Thank you, Andrew. First pitch to Edbert Perez, the cleanup man. This is down and away from Berry. That was his 53rd pitch of the night. Looking to keep it a four-run ball game heading into the stretch. Another one doesn't miss by much, and Berry had his hands on his knees, wondering why he couldn't get that strike call from Shea Graham. Perez 0 for 3 today. A couple of ground outs and a strikeout, and here he is way out in front of a Shea Berry fastball. Rips it down the right field line out of play. Carolina trying to hold on and move back to above 500 on the season, 45-45, coming into their 91st contest to open this series, and got an automatic ball called against Berry. It's 3-1, so Casey wasn't frustrated enough on the mound. He gets tacked on with that pitch clock violation. The 3-1, just outside, ball four. And that's a leadoff walk to Perez. So Berry takes a stroll behind the rubber. Looks to regroup against Eduardo Garcia. Garcia also 0 for 3. Popped out in the second, struck out swinging to end the top of the fourth, and flew out to center his last time up against Berry. First pitch ball. Decent Tuesday crowd here in Fayetteville. The dog days of summer as we get ready to turn the calendar page once more, wrapping up July. Crazy how the time has flown by this season. And Berry, another close pitch, doesn't get the call. But this is the fourth to last home series for Fayetteville. Still three more on the schedule. 2-0 is over to Garcia. They'll go on the road next week to Salem, Virginia. Their last trip outside of North Carolina in 2022. 2-1, and Berry, nice off-speed, pulls the string on Garcia, evens the count. Got all the long trips out of the way early. Longest, the trip out to Delmarva. Broken bat, grounder to the left side. Williams has it, throws to second for one. That's all they'll get. Hallmark picking up the force out. Reaching on a fielder's choice is Eduardo Garcia. Retired at second, Perez for the first out.
Well, if you're Shea, one of the positives you can still take from this is that when the Mudcats have put the ball in play, it's mostly been ground balls against Berry. So his sinker is getting what he wants out of it. That time he just shattered a bat, and you take that as a sinker ball, a compliment as a sinker baller. So Berry seems to be a little bit more accurate with those pitches and keep running them in on the righties, and that's the formula to success for him. Draw that contact on the ground, use the defense behind you, avoid the extra base runners.
Big cut by Jesus Chirinos on the first pitch. Comes up empty. 0-1. Runner going, Berry comes home, pitch misses outside, throw down by Alvarez, off the glove of Hallmark, and it careens away back towards first base. Stolen base for Garcia. It's a little slow to get up, but he's all right, just dusting himself off. The pitch, and that one is down and away. 7 runs on 7 hits. No errors for the Mudcats. 3 runs on 5 hits and 2 errors committed by the Fayetteville defense. It's now 6 over the last 3 games. Got a discussion going on between home plate umpire Shea Graham and Mudcats manager Victor Estevez about the count, it appears. Like Estevez just wanted to double check. Fastball from Barry, outside corner, 2-2. Just a short while ago, the Astros got underway in their series out west against the Oakland Athletics. A wave and a miss. And that is strike 3. Second strikeout recorded by Barry. Picks up out number 2 in the 7th, fanning Chirinos and Zach Robbie. We'll get an opportunity with 2 down and a runner at 2nd. The Astros, right after the All-Star break, picking up right where they left off. They have been so impressive once again. Fastball on the outside corner to Robbie. Took care of the Yankees out of the break. A look at 2nd by Barry. The 0-1. This is down and outside. They're running away with that AL West. Surging Seattle Mariners made a bit of a run at them, but they really didn't pick up any ground before losing a series to the Astros recently. Chopper to 2nd, Hallmark. Fields throws. Mascai forced to do the splits. That one caught him a little off guard, but he ends up making the play, and the inning is over. So Shea Barry works a scoreless top of the 7th inning to keep it 7-3 Mudcats. We head to the stretch. Fayetteville looking for a rally when we come back on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Sing a little louder. I so it's the Packers. Sing it loud at the old. Oh boy, Packers.
To the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. One hop this time. Right foot, 2 stumps. Left foot, 2 stumps. Slide to the left. Slide to the right. Crisscross. Crisscross. Cha-cha, real smooth. Let's go to work. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. 2 hops this time. 2 hops this time. Right foot, 2 stumps. Left foot, 2 stumps. Hands on your knees, hands on your knees. Get funky with it.
Back on the mound for the Mudcats, yeah. Ryan Middendorf.
Come on.
Leading off the bottom of the 7th inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 12, Leos Danny Molina.
Eight, 9-1 hitters due up for Fayetteville. Leo's Danny Molina, followed by Yaris Ramirez and Jackson Hallmark. Molina takes ball 1 as Ryan Middendorf back out for a 2nd inning of work, coming in for Alexander Corniel, who went far enough to be eligible for the victory. 5 innings, 3 earned runs on 5 hits, a pair of walks, 9 strikeouts for the right-hander. Came into tonight 0-2 against Fayetteville this season. So in a good spot to pick up some redemption. 1-1, and Molina fouls it straight back. Mentioned for the break, the Astros out in Oakland. That game scoreless in the bottom of the 1st inning. Luis Garcia on the mound for Houston. Looking to continue what's been a solid season for the young right-hander. pitch from Middendorf down and outside. A couple of games have gone final throughout the majors. Baltimore Orioles have now moved to over 500, 49-48 on the season with a 5-3 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays. Breaking ball outside, Molina draws the count full. Another team working their way back towards the 500 mark, the Miami Marlins, now 46-51, edge out the 2-1 victory over the Cincinnati Reds. 3-2, swung on and missed. Off balance was Molina, way out in front, as Middendorf has retired each of the first four batters he's faced, including three strikeouts. One down, the nine hitter Gary Ramirez coming to the dish. The other game that has ended out at Wrigley Field, a daytime victory for the Chicago Cubs in front of their home crowd. They knock off the Pirates 4-2 in that NL Central matchup. Sharply hit ground ball by Ramirez, but right at the second baseman, Zach Robbie. 4-3 put out, and quickly two down in the bottom of the seventh. Middendorf on cruise control. Elsewhere around the majors, in the ninth inning in Philadelphia, where the Atlanta Braves, who have been playing outstanding baseball throughout the second half of this season, they lead 6-1 over the Philadelphia Phillies. Breaking ball on the outside corner for a strike. 6 runs on 10 hits for the Braves. The game now heading to the bottom of the ninth inning. Atlanta looking to repeat as World Series champions. Fastball outside corner on Hallmark. Trying to become the first team to repeat since the 2000 New York Yankees. In the middle of their three-peat in the late 90s through the early part of the millennium. Fastball outside corner misses on Hallmark. 10-3 lead after 7 for the Toronto Blue Jays up in Canada over the St. Louis Cardinals in that interleague matchup. Toronto in the middle of that wild card race. A line drive caught by Robbie. Had a busy 7th inning. Leaps up, makes a grab on Hallmark. Moves to 2-for-4 on the night. And we move on to the 8th inning. Still a 7-3 lead for the Carolina Mudcats. We'll bring the 8th when we come back from Segra Stadium.
Take it away, DP.
Well, we're going to have Jack. Hey, Jack. Look right here. Look right there. Say hi, everybody.
Say hi.
Hi.
Jack, you have to guess tonight's attendance. Look up here on the big board. You're going to get some numbers. You got to pick. Look, buddy. Is it A, B, or C? A, 2,603. B, 2,888. Or C, 2,792. Which one, buddy?
B.
Which one?
B.
Jack is saying B. Let's see if Jack is correct. Oh, it was C. Jack, thank you for playing. Hey, Jack, can you look in the camera and say, go Peckers?
Go Peckers.
That's right.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 21, Jason Schroeder.
I-L-L-A-C. Can't see me through my tents. I'm riding real slow in my paint.
Leading off the top of the eighth inning for the Mudcats, the catcher, number 20, Jose Cibrian.
Pitching change to tell you about. Right-hander Jason Schroeder on the mound to replace Shea Berry. Former second-round pick for the Houston Astros. Misses low with his first pitch to Jose Cibrian. And to take us through the conclusion on this Tuesday night from Fayetteville, North Carolina, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thanks, Colin. First pitch is seared on a line, or the next pitch make it to Cibrian, and it's hit foul over the right field netting. Cibrian in a 1-ball, 1-strike count. He's reached on an error, hit by pitch, and also singled and scored. Schroeder kicks and fires, and a fastball misses up high. It is 2-1. Schroeder's numbers coming into tonight. He has an 0-3 record, 6.75 ERA. He's put together a couple of nice outings his last two times. As a fly ball is golfed to center. Routine for Cerny, drifting to his left, and he makes the catch one away.
He hasn't given up a hit in either of his last two outings, which is great to see. Obviously, the concern sometimes with Schroeder is being able to throw strikes, but that fastball has a lot of life to it. So when he's able to locate it, it's tough to get a bat on it. You saw right there from Cibrian, he was able to make contact with it, square it up, but ball just didn't go anywhere. He wasn't able to really make sharp contact. A good start to the outing here for Schroeder.
The pitch is down and inside. It's 1-0 on Silva. Silva's rolled into a double play, reached on an error, and also driven in a run on a single. Schroeder throws. Fastball, and he was late getting to it. Nice pitch. It is 1-1.
Also feels like Schroeder is often brought into high-leverage situations out of the bullpen in the middle of an inning, so I think it's a refreshing sign for him to come in with the bases empty, nobody out.
Yeah, I agree. There's been a lot of situations this year. It's been bases loaded. One guy's night has come to a close, and Schroeder has to come on because he's the next guy scheduled to pitch. 2-1 on Silva. Here it is, and it's down to the dirt, but gets him to swing and miss. Was located, I think, where Schroeder wanted it. That was his fastball, but Silva was committed to it. And it's 2-2. Other numbers for Schroeder this year. He's gone 19 innings now with his fly out to Jose Cibrian. This is his 20th game out of the bullpen. 35 walks, 17 strikeouts, and opponents batting .227 against him. Goes right back to the heat, and that one's fouled off by Silva. Keep it at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Henry Mendez will get a chance in this inning as well. Carolina leadoff man has reached all 4 times he's been up. 6 hits for Carolina make it 5 hits for Fayetteville, but the Woodpeckers trail 7-3. Tried again, another 2-2, and that slider from Schroeder gave Luis Silva a close shave. Came right up near his chin. Fills things up, 3 balls, 2 strikes. Infield playing just about straight up against Schroeder. The bell tie set, and payoff pitch is a broken bat. One hopper right back to the mound. Schroeder secures it, runs over to first, and underhand flips to the waiting Mascai. 2 gone. And a good payoff there from Schroeder. He went fastball, put it right to the bottom of the zone, and sounded like Silva got the end of the bat on it, and that's what broke the lumber.
I like him going low with that fastball. Often we've seen him miss upstairs, and that's where the control kind of goes out of whack on Schroeder, but that low fastball, these Mudcats hitters have had trouble picking it up. You saw earlier in the at-bat, Silva swung and missed, and this time he just kind of got jammed on it. Great location.
Now Henry Mendez has to step out of the way of an inside fastball. That one got away from Schroeder at 92 miles an hour, and it's 1-0 on Mendez. Schroeder is not giving up a run in the month of July, so that's good news for Jason across what is now 3 innings of work in the month. The pitch is high and outside. Went a scoreless inning his last time at Fayetteville against Down East. Scoreless inning in Myrtle Beach, and was called into just a short little cleanup duty in Kannapolis. A scoreless third of an inning, got one out, and that was all. The 2-0 pitch popped out of play left side. 2 balls and a strike on Mendez. Mentioned the Carolina leadoff man. He's reached in all 4 plate appearances. 2 singles started his ninth, and he was hit by a pitch, drove in a run on that hit by pitch. Bases were loaded, and he also has walked. Swings, and I don't think he made contact with that. Maybe he did, but got a piece of Alvarez either way. 2 balls and 2 strikes now on Mendez, who's also scored a pair of runs and stolen 2 bases. Both times he's been the man on third that has stolen home on the double steal. It's been those runners on first base getting aggressive that allowed him to come home when Alvarez is thrown down. 2-ball, 2-strike set from Schroeder. And here's the pitch. A tapper along the first baseline. It trickles foul. And the count will stay where it is on Mendez, 2-2. In the home eighth, the Woodpeckers will have the heart of their order coming up. You have Logan Cerny, Joey Loperfido, Justin Williams, and they'll need some productive at-bats out of those guys if they hope to overcome a four-run deficit over the final couple innings tonight. Another 2-2, and Mendez hits this one on the ground. It gets through the right side, past the look of Hallmark at second and into right field. How about a 3-for-3 game for Henry Mendez, and he has reached in all five plate appearances. And on-base percentage going through the roof today for Mendez.
Just put the ball in play. Good things happening. So all you can ask out of your leadoff hitter. But, again, another hard-fought at-bat from Schroeder, keeping everything down in the zone. Credit to Mendez just putting a better swing and sneaking it through the right side of the infield.
Now it's Oswald Leones. First pitch to him is a fastball right over the middle. Well located by Schroeder. Been consistently around 92-93 tonight. 0-1 on Oswald, who was hit by a pitch with the bases loaded by Shea Berry in the sixth. Schroeder leans in and delivers. Fastball up and outside. It is 1-1. A good little bit of our Tuesday night crowd still hanging around, clustered around the Woodpeckers dugout mostly and behind home plate. It was a big line before the game tonight. Almost all the way down to Hay Street. The runner is on the move. The pitch misses low. No throw down. Henry Mendez now has 3 stolen bases. And he got to step right on into second with no throw. Keep the uniform clean. For a guy who's been on base as much as Henry Mendez has tonight 5 times, I don't see a dirt stain on him. Maybe a little one on the right knee, but he's kept it pretty clean. And this pitch is fouled right over our heads in the booth. Bring our gloves next time, and it's two balls, 2 strikes now on Leones. It was a Nightmare on Hay Street t-shirt giveaway, and if you got one of those tonight, you can come back to the ballpark later this week, Thirsty Thursday, where it's actually Nightmare on Hay Street night. And here's a ground ball hit out towards second base. It's collected by Hallmark, and he throws over to first to end the inning. And Jason Schroeder still has not given up a run in the month of July. Another scoreless outing for Jason, his 4th straight. See if he comes back out for a little more in the 9th inning. But first we move bottom 8 with the Woodpeckers trailing the Mudcats 7-3.
For the Mudcats, Ryan Middendorf. Leading off the bottom of the 8th inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number 1, Logan Cerny.
Logan Cerny is the leadoff hitter in the bottom of the 8th inning. And he takes a first pitch changeup a little off the outside from right-hander Ryan Middendorf for ball 1. Cerny Loperfido, and then Justin Williams. It's the 2, 3, and 4. There's some big hitters coming up for Fayetteville, trailing 7-3. Slider weaves to the outside. It missed. And it's 2 balls and no strikes. Cerny has hit the ball well in all 3 at-bats tonight, one of which went as deep as it could go out to the center field warning track, but he's flied out all 3 times. Fastball squeezed him a little bit. 3 balls, no strikes. And if Cerny can get on base, that's some top-notch speed to deal with. And here's the 3-0 pitch. And it's a fastball, a get-me-over pitch for strike one. Middendorf has looked solid tonight since coming on in the 6th inning behind Alexander Corneal. A 1-2-3 sixth and seventh. He's retired every batter he's faced and struck out 3 as well. Slider outside corner, called strike 2, and he's come back to fill the count on Cerny.
All these fly balls from Cerny, you wonder just how many of them would have gotten out in Asheville.
The payoff to Cerny is ripped on a line out to left. Leones has a beat on it, moving to his right, and he makes the catch. Cerny flies out for a 4th time, and he's now flown out to every outfielder. Twice to center, once to right, and once to left.
That one would have been close, I'll tell you that much. But, yeah, he's been making really strong swings on the ball. One of those nights where things just haven't really been put together. But a lot less strikeouts the last couple of months. That's the important thing with Cerny. The less he strikes out, the more valuable he becomes.
Cerny, I make it Loperfido. Stays patient on the first one, but takes a 95-mile-per-hour fastball for strike one. Here's the look in and the wind from Middendorf, the pitch. Fastball right to the same spot, again on the inside. And I think Loperfido doesn't mind a fastball that's a little up, a little bit outside, but that inside pitch, especially 94-95, that's a tough one to turn on as a lefty. And he's quickly in a nothing and two count. 1-for-2 day with a walk and a single. Here comes the pitch. Loperfido grounds it softly off the left side of the mound. It's collected by Garcia, and his throw to first is offline, but it wasn't in time either. That'll likely go down as a Loperfido infield single on a ball that had rolled off the side of the mound and then just died in the infield grass. Garcia waited for it to come up on him behind second and didn't have nearly enough time to get the speedy Loperfido. And he has himself a multi-hit game, now 2-for-3. Loperfido and Hallmark, the 2 Woodpeckers with multiple hits tonight. They've linked together to tally 4 of the 6 hits. And now Justin Williams, he's been hitting with runners on all night. This is a 4th time now that Williams has hit with a base runner aboard. He hit a 2-run home run with Loperfido standing at first base back in the 4th. And now here we get the same opportunity for him. 1-0 pitch. Change up on the inside corner. That is called a strike. And it's 1-1.
It's Loperfido who started that rally in the 4th inning that gave Fayetteville the lead by working his way on, earning the walk. Now, can they repeat history in this 8th to try to close the gap?
Williams attacks the 1-1 and lofts it foul onto the roof of the Avex Club. And with a thud, it's 1-2 on Williams. A couple of mixed results tonight for Justin Williams. 2 of the 3 true outcomes have been a part of his scorecard. A couple of strikeouts and the home run. The 1-2. A check swing on a high and away pitch. They do appeal and base ump. Michael Corbett says that he held up.
Got to be so hard to tell if a guy went when you're standing behind that mound.
Just about every player, manager would agree that we should have 3-man umpiring crews at all levels of the minors. I've been calling for that since at least my first year in the minors, 2018. And nothing's changed, Colin. So call your local representative, local congressman, whoever you need to get 3 umps in the Carolina League. 3-2 payoff, and Williams strikes out for a 3rd time. A slider working to the outside. And he'll fall to 1-for-4.
It's been a lot of strikeouts at the plate the last few games for Woodpeckers. Saw the game a couple of nights ago where they were no hit, missing a lot of bats in that one, and just seems to be a lineup-wide slump for Fayetteville. I mean, there's been some bright spots, of course, with the Williams two-run home run, some extra base hits here and there, but definitely far too swings and misses, that probably want to see a lot more contact being made here as this home stretch goes on.
Pitch to Miskies, ripped down the right field line, but that hooks foul into the four tops. Miskies really got to hold that one.
And he's a guy that they really need to start putting the ball in play just because of how valuable he is when he's on. I mean, we saw Miskies prior to getting banged up against Augusta. He was leaving the yard regularly and finding the gap. Just so many extra base hits, was having such a strong start to the month of June. Got to get him back to where we saw him before that injury.
Miskies rips through a fastball. Nobody was holding Lo Perfido on, and finally he takes advantage of that. He hustles down to second base. Victor Miskies is in a 1-2 count, and he's trying to avoid the dreaded 0-4 with four strikeouts. Twice he's gone down looking. Middendorf got him in the sixth. Here's the pitch, and a dribbler along the first baseline. A fair ball, dying on the grass. Chirinos comes in front of the first base bag, scoops it in, stomps on the bag, and ends the inning. A three unassisted leaves Lo Perfido stranded. The Woodpeckers do not score. On one hit, they leave a man on. No errors for the Mudcats. And through eight tonight, the Mudcats lead this series opener 7-3.
Cornhole Tournament, presented by Haymont Truck Stop. The tournament will take place on Saturday, August 20th at 1 p.m. The winning team will take home a $500 grand prize, and the runner-up wins $250. Registration is open and is $50 per team of two. Plus, all teams will receive two keepsake items per member. For more information, head to the fan information table or scan the QR code on the screen. Registration closes on August 11th, and signups are first come, first serve. So make sure to register your team now.
Top of the ninth inning, and right-hander Jason Schroeder returns to the mound, and he'll face Jefferson Kiro. Carolina three-hitter. The pitch is popped up and out of play. Strike one. Edbert Perez, Eduardo Garcia are going to face Schroeder as well. It's the heart of the order here. Jason Schroeder hasn't often this season pitched more than an inning, and only once this year, make it twice, he's gone two innings. Here's the pitch. A fastball up and in. 1-1 on Kiro. Both of those two-inning outings for Schroeder, one went 2 1/3. That was the second of the season, April 12th, here at home against Salem. Then he also pitched two innings here at home against Kannapolis. The pitch is low. Two balls and one strike on Kiro, but Schroeder had a good start to his night, pitching a scoreless eighth, working around a one-out single. And see if he can try and go two for the first time since April. Fastball missed low, and it's two balls and one strike. Make it three balls and one strike on Kiro. The Mudcats haven't scored in the seventh or the eighth, but they still lead 7-3. They scored four to go in front the fifth inning after the Woodpeckers took a 3-1 advantage. The pitch is cracked out to left field. This is way up there for Lo Perfido, but he comes in, angles to his left in the alleyway, drifts around, and makes the catch. Kiro flies out, one away. And that'll bring up Hedbert Perez. Perez tonight is bounced out to the pitcher. He is struck out, grounded out, and walked. He's 0-3. See what the Carolina cleanup man can do, and it's likely his last at bat on this Tuesday evening. First pitch from Schroeder is a low fastball, and it's a 1-0 count on Perez. The Asheville Tourists are playing tonight. They're at home out at McCormick Field in Asheville. Astros High A affiliate hosting the Aberdeen Ironbirds. 1-0 pitch in front of the plate. I believe that's the Baltimore Orioles affiliate. And Asheville down 7-4. A couple hits, though, today from J.C. Correa. The former Woodpecker is still batting in the 300s in high A. 312 hitter this year for the Tourists. 2-0 pitch. Swing and a miss on a fastball. And Schroeder's velocity a little bit down on that one. Only clocked at 88, but might have thrown off Perez a bit after Schroeder was touching 92-93 in the eighth inning. Target is set up high. And here's the 2-1. Pitch missed low, but Perez chased it down low. So Schroeder has gotten a couple of swings on that low fastball tonight, even though he hasn't necessarily hit the spot every time. His Mudcats have been committed to trying to go down and get the velocity. 2-2 pitch from Schroeder is high. That's where they wanted the last one. And it's 3-2. Quincy Hamilton 0-4 tonight, but Quincy's still batting up in the 300s. He's 308 in high A. And a home run in that game for the Tourists. A two-run home run coming out of A.J. Lee. Pitch up and outside to Hedbert Perez, and that's a walk. First walk given up by Schroeder out of the bullpen. Home run for Lee was his fourth of the year. Zach Daniels has also been getting better and better in high A. He's now up to 257 on the season after batting around the 200 mark for the first couple of months. First pitch low to Garcia, 1-0. And he went on the injury list for a bit, but then he's been tearing it up since then. And he hit his 12th home run of the year tonight in Asheville. That was an eighth inning home run. Solo shot. Pick over to first. That was close. But Perez dives back in time, barely. This guy dropped a tag on him as he kind of stumbled over top of Perez. Tried to avoid stepping on him with those metal spikes and nearly tagged him out. 1-0 pitch from Schroeder is high, and it's two balls and no strikes. I believe there was a little bit of crossover at the University of Tennessee as well between Zach Daniels and now recently signed first-round draft pick by the Astros, Drew Gilbert. Would have been probably Drew's freshman year if there wasn't any crossover there. 2-0 pitch is outside.
It's been a really good stretch of years for volunteer outfielders. Talk about Daniels and a couple getting drafted in the first two rounds. Gilbert to Houston. Jordan Beck also being taken by Colorado in the second round.
Two balls, no strikes. The pitch to Garcia and a fastball called a strike. There was also some news that broke, I think it was earlier today, that the second-round pick out of Tennessee pitcher Blade Tidwell ended up signing with the New York Mets. There was a lot of those Tennessee Vols that are now pros. 2-2 pitch. Bouncing ball hit towards third. It's backhanded by Williams. He has a long throw across his body, and it's pinpoint to Mascai to get Eduardo Garcia. Nice play by Justin Williams. Even with the long throw he had to make across the diamond, he never felt rushed there. He felt composed the entire way, backhanding that ball and throwing even from the foul territory side of the line. Showing off that arm strength. Perez gets to second. Garcia is the second out of the ninth inning. And now Jason Schroeder trying to complete two innings of relief work for just the third time this year. And he gets a swing and a miss out of Jesus Chirinos. Strike one.
You look at a lot of the guys that Houston did end up drafting. They went the college route for a lot of those early rounds, so they'll be bringing in plenty of these 22, 23-year-olds with a lot of experience.
Fastball up and inside, and it's one ball and one strike. Aaron Brown was the starter tonight for Asheville. He gave up four earned runs in his start. Kyle Gruller threw a scoreless inning of relief, and now Dio Smerky-Taveras is pitching in the top of the ninth inning. 2-1 to Chirinos is very high, three balls and one strike. Sugarland starting up a new series today on the road in Oklahoma City, playing the Dodgers AAA affiliate, the OKC Dodgers, and they trail 3-0 at the end of six. Big swing by Chirinos on what was ball four, and that was above the zone, but put Schroeder back into this count. It's full, 3-2. And here it comes. Up and outside, and actually I guess that was the two-ball pitch to Chirinos. It was a two-ball, two-strike count. Now it's full, 3-2. Chirinos has struck out twice, and he has walked twice. Scored a run in the fifth, and then got caught stealing in the sixth. Pitch backs him off, and that'll fill thing, or make it ball four there on Chirinos. So two walks by Schroeder, put runners at first and second base. And Zach Robbie stepping in. First, John Kovalik going to go to the mound, though, and have a chat with Schroeder here. And looks like that right field bullpen is activating just in case Schroeder needs some help getting the final out of this ninth inning.
Yeah, this shouldn't be too quick of a conversation between Kovalik and Schroeder. Just a reminder, hey, had a really strong start to this ball game. Gave up the two-out single in the eighth inning, but was able to bounce back. Hasn't gotten a strikeout yet, but when he's been going after the strike zone, hasn't really needed that strikeout pitch because the contact hasn't been very sharply hit from these Mudcat batters. Just trying to get that one last out and give your team a shot in the ninth and four runs right now.
Jan Kovalik walking off the diamond and Hedbert Perez standing at second. Chirinos now at first. Zach Robbie, the new hitter. He's 1-for-3. Singled and scored in the fifth. Walked and scored in the sixth. Contact hitter, hit to all fields, and the first pitch fastball blazes in there. Strike one on Robbie, 0-1. Robbie hasn't faced Schroeder yet. Final batter in the order to face Schroeder, the pitch. And it's strike two looking. Another fastball to Robbie, and it's quickly a nothing and two. Jose Cibrian in the eighth, the eight hitter standing on deck, was the first guy to face Jason. Schroeder's given up the two walks in this inning, but just one hit so far. And here comes his 0-2 pitch. He strikes out Robbie, gets him with a high slider. Three pitches, down you go, and Jason Schroeder closes out two scoreless innings of relief work tonight with a strikeout. It's just the third time this year he's gone two innings, and Schroeder's looking good. Still without a run allowed in July, and he's given his offense one last chance to cut into this 7-3 ball game when we play the bottom of the ninth next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
This Mudcats pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Mudcats, number 24, Miguel Guerrero.
Tell me
leading off the bottom of the ninth inning for the Woodpeckers. The right fielder, number 8, Tyler Whitaker.
Few more opportunities for the Woodpeckers to try and do something tonight. 7-3 the score. They've been trailing since a 4-run Carolina fifth inning. And Tyler Whitaker fouls away the first pitch from new right-hander for the Mudcats, Miguel Guerrero. He comes out of the pen. The right-hander delivers, and a bouncing ball hit towards third. It's one high hop played by Silva. He takes a step and throws firm across the diamond to get Whitaker for the first out of the ninth inning. And that'll bring up Jose Alvarez. Miguel Guerrero has pitched at two different levels of the Milwaukee system this year. He started the year in high A with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, but had a 7.85 ERA, gave up 35 earned runs over 28 and two-thirds. So he was brought down to the Mudcats and has been very solid in the Carolina League. Has given up just one run over 5 2/3 innings. That's a 1.59 ERA. This being his sixth appearance out of the Carolina pen. First pitch was a low and in fastball to Alvarez. Here it comes. And it's a slider down and outside. With the Mudcats going in front in the fifth inning, it's still Alexander Corneal, who is in line for his fourth win of the season. Carolina starter went 5 innings, struck out 9 Woodpeckers. And on the hook for the loss is Shea Berry, who came on in the fifth with a 3-run lead and gave a 3-1 lead, that is, and gave up the 3 runs. I make it the 4 runs in that fifth. Fastball up and inside, and that sends Jose Alvarez stepping out of the way. Ball 4, a 4-pitch walk given up to Alvarez. And now it's Leo's Danny Molina. Corpus Christi Hooks are the other team in the Astros farm system playing tonight, and they're in a close game on the road in Amarillo tonight, top of the ninth inning. A wave and a miss on a slider down and outside to Molina, and it is 0-1, another big night for former Woodpecker Justin Dearden. There's a lot of calls amongst Astros fans to get Dearden up to AAA after the season he's had. Leads the Hooks in home runs, 3-for-4 tonight. Now batting 313 in AA. It's been fantastic. The big lefty, Justin Dearden. 1-1 to Molina. Short leadoff first for Alvarez, and Molina cuts through an inside fastball. 1-2 count. Couple of home runs tonight for the Hooks as well. Cesar Salazar hitting one for the Hooks, and they also got one from their 9-hitter, the DH C.J. Stubbs. And they're down to their final out tonight, though, in Amarillo with nobody on base, 5-4 game in the top of the ninth inning. 1-2 pitch is a slider a little bit outside. The count is 2-2 on Molina. He doubled in a run in the fourth inning, the only inning where the Woodpeckers scored any runs today. 3 runs all coming in the fourth. 2-run home run from Williams, RBI double by Molina. And he swings and rips this one deep but foul down the left field line. Eyes lit up on a changeup that was in the kill me zone. That was right in the top of the zone, up and in, asking to be hit hard.
Been hitting the ball hard all throughout the game so far. Had that RBI double back in the fourth inning.
A check swing on one down and outside. Molina able to hold the hands on the appeal. So he didn't go, and it's 2-3-2.
Game went final out in Fenway Park. An 8-3 win for the Cleveland Guardians over the Boston Red Sox, which means the Baltimore Orioles have now moved to fourth place in the AL East.
A check swing on a pitch down to the dirt. Molina went too far. He strikes out. But Alvarez able to scamper down to second base. Man in scoring position with the Woodpeckers down to their final out. And Yuri Ramirez coming up, representing Fayetteville's final chance.
If you said that the Baltimore Orioles would be anywhere outside of the basement in late July at the start of the year, someone would call you crazy. Probably even more crazy for someone to tell you the Boston Red Sox would be in last place after the June they had. Such a strong June, and it's just all come crashing down up in Massachusetts in July.
Fastball up and in. You're up in Massachusetts for the All-Star break, hanging with family. I can't imagine Red Sox fans in that area were too thrilled with the trajectory of that ball club this year.
A lot of question marks, too, over the next week with the trade deadline looming.
August 1 deadline. So the Red Sox, who have tons of good pieces in Nate Eovaldi and Xander Bogaerts, have to decide whether they're going to be buyers or sellers. And when you're slipping as far down the division as they are, I think the answer is kind of getting put right in front of you. One ball, one strike pitch, and it misses outside. Of course, that would make things interesting for contenders like the Astros, who with the Yankees and Dodgers are really kind of solidifying their first-round buys right now with the new playoff format. And would they want to go out and get one of those Red Sox pieces if they do indeed sell? 2-1 pitch, and Yuri's Ramirez swings and misses at a slider. A lot of talk about the Astros trying to go get Josh Bell from the Nationals, get a big bat at first base. You have pitchers like Frankie Montas, who's pitching against the Astros tonight for Oakland. Luis Castillo as well of the Reds. Frontline starters available. 2-2, and Ramirez strikes out. This ball game is over. The Woodpeckers unable to score beyond the fourth inning tonight. They allow the Mudcats to overcome a 3-1 deficit, scoring the final six runs of this game. And the Woodpeckers drop the series opener here at Segres Stadium 7-3. We'll break down all the scoring and let you know how this one transpired. If you joined us late tonight, that is next on the Woodpeckers postgame show right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Stay tuned. I'm blasting my favorite tunes.
Let me show it. You are exactly what I want. Kinda cool and kinda not. Wanna give myself to you. Yeah, we're driving down the freeway at night. I only got one thing in the back of my mind. I'm feeling like this might be my time to shine with you, with you, with you. I got my head out the sunroof. I'm blasting. Back of my mind, I'm feeling like this might be my time to shine with you, with you, with you. I got my head out the sunroof. I'm blasting.
To close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome back inside the broadcast booth as we wrap up the action tonight. Thanks so much for being a part of our Tuesday night ball game. A pleasure calling it for you tonight. Final score, Carolina takes this series opener 7-3.
And, Colin, the Woodpeckers did manage to come up with some big hits when they trailed initially tonight. 1-0, they trailed early to the Mudcats. Colton Gordon had a great debut, 4 innings in his Carolina League, first Carolina League outing, the first time he ever pitched at the full season ranks of professional baseball, and he struck out 5. We knew he was a strike thrower. He didn't walk anybody, struck out 5, gave up just the 1 run, and with the Woodpeckers down, they put together big at-bats in that 4th inning, the first time they were able to get the leading run on. That's when all the hits started kind of linking together, and that's when the Woodpeckers are at their best this year, that flash we saw in the 4th.
Yeah, Alex Cornille had him shut down through the first 3 innings. They end up giving up the 1 run in the top half of the 4th, but they really figured things out against him in that 4th inning. Joey Loperfido draws the walk, and then the big swing from Justin Williams, 2-run home run, his first home run of the month of July, so I'm sure you've been waiting on that one at the time. Yeah. Gave him a lot of that momentum. Another walk in an RBI double from Leo's Danny Molina gave him that 3-1 lead. Unfortunately, the middle innings just did not go the way that the Woodpeckers would have liked. A couple of big innings for the Mudcats, really doing in the Woodpeckers in this series opener. So for the first time in the last couple of weeks, the Woodpeckers drop a series opener. Maybe it's for the better. You know, the series hasn't really gone too well when they've won the series opener, Fayetteville. Yeah. So they'll look to kind of turn things around. But again, like you said, some good things to see. Gordon's debut was fantastic. Saw that good 4th inning as well offensively. Just got to try to put together a complete ball game. They'll get a guy on the mound who's trying to do the same thing that Alex Cornille did tonight. Pitched 5 innings, ends up getting the victory after dropping each of his first 2 games against Fayetteville this season. Now it's Dalen Miley's turn for redemption tomorrow. Yeah. Gave up 5 runs his last time out and just 2 innings pitched in Zebulon, but he's got an opportunity now to redeem himself, try to get some revenge against a team that he struggled against last time out. Fayetteville trying to flip the script tomorrow night and get some of that magic back going that we saw at the start of the Kannapolis series, start of the Myrtle Beach series. We know this team's got that offense in them when they can put it all together. Now the question is, can they put together a complete ball game? They'll look to do that tomorrow on Wednesday night.
Yep, long series, 6-game series running through Sunday, so a chance to even it tomorrow. A couple of the other notable performances tonight, along with Colton Gordon in his debut. Jackson Hallmark, another multi-hit game for him, 2-for-4 with a couple of those line drive singles to the outfield. Joey Loperfido, a multi-hit game as well. He reached 3 times tonight, along with a walk, and then the 2-run home run from Justin Williams, his 3rd of the year, giving him 17 RBIs on the season. Mention that pitching matchup tomorrow. Colin, it's right-hander Dalen Miley against right-hander Fernando Holguin of the Carolina Mudcats. Holguin with a 1-2 record, 5.02 ERA. Miley 2-5 with a $5.33 dog night, so you can bring the pups out to the park, get some discounted hot dogs, plus it's winning weekday. If the Woodpeckers win tomorrow, your Wednesday ticket is good for a few future Wednesday home game right here at Segra Stadium. So come on out. We have tons of promotions left at the ballpark throughout the week. Go to FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and tune into Woodpeckers social media for all of the updates throughout the homestand. That'll do it for us tonight in the broadcast booth. Tonight's final 7-3. Drive home safely, everybody, and we hope to see you out at the ballpark later this week. Good night.